People are dumb on the program today. Also, things stuck in your body. Kevin apparently has something to tell us. Jimmy Pardo joins us later this morning, and we have tickets to see Trevor Noah, at the Staples Center for his stand-up comedy, which is going to be great. By the way, I'm out of breath right now.
Well, that must have been really tiring to say that.
I mean, you're almost dead.
By the way, if you enjoyed the 21 Pilots interview as much as we did, quick reminder, it is up at KROQ.com. You can actually watch it, too, when the guys came in. All right. Jensen, you have been through this probably more recently than we have. What can you tell us? What do you remember about meeting your now wife's parents for the first time?
For the first time, went to a dinner, and it was just, I mean, very uneventful in a sense that just, like, these are cool people. Like, you immediately recognize this is a very great family.
So they weren't sizing you up?
No.
How soon into the relationship was that?
That was...
First date?
No. That was, like, a good 2 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys were starting to get a little bit serious.
Yeah.
Right?
That,
a little bit committed.
You have to meet any significant other's parents, I think, at least 6 months in.
Mm-hmm.
Because then
I
you can immediately see if they're absolutely bonkos people.
Right.
And then you realize you're entering chaos.
Did you feel any kind of pressure to impress at the head into the dinner?
No. At this age, I mean, if I was like in my 20s and dating, that's probably different and you're just nervous all the time. But when you're in your late 30s, it's like, dude, I can't really change that much. So I'm probably just going to be who I am.
But they don't know about the DVDs, right?
Right. Yeah, or the shoes.
You don't bring that up.
Or the shoes.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
No. Or the wrestling things.
Okay,
no,
good.
They know.
How was your dad back in the day, Allie, when you would bring home a boy for them to meet? Was he cool or was he knives out?
He was dead silent.
Just didn't say a word.
Dead silent.
Was he staring daggers at the guy?
No, just dead silent.
Nothing.
Like every now and then he'd say a couple words, but yeah, I'll never forget bringing my boyfriend at the time home for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I think my dad said like maybe 10 words in 5 days. And I was like,
really?
He hates him.
Did that mean he hated him? Or
oh,
just,
yeah. No, it definitely did. And he was correct in that assumption.
You should have listened to Dad.
I really should have on that one. But there are times. And then I have other guy friends, like one guy friend of mine that my dad is convinced I should marry, who this guy comes over and he's just like, Ryan, hey, I'm like, God,
so happy to see him.
He's like, rolling out a red carpet
fast. Insane to me.
Putting down rose petals.
Yeah, it's insane.
My wife had the most pressure-filled meeting of my parents because we met and married in California before my parents living in Maryland even knew I was dating anyone.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the move. You're setting her up to fail.
Yes.
So we did what you did, Allie, which was flew east for Thanksgiving, or as you would say, Thanksgiving.
Yes,
And so the first time she ever met my parents was at Thanksgiving, and we were already married. So, I mean, it was
Were they angry that you already got married and didn't tell them?
Yes.
Like, how could you not?
Was Donna nervous?
Because of course she's going there with Bean.
Right. Yeah, she's going there with her husband to meet his parents.
Well, there's no human way that his
parents... like to talk about 7-Eleven.
Yeah, there's no way his parents could be weirder than him. So it's like, she's already indebted.
My mom also had somebody picked out for me that she wanted me to marry.
Oh.
And she essentially wouldn't talk to Donna at Thanksgiving the first hour.
Wow, Donna's so much better than whoever your mom picked.
Yeah, I think so too.
Wow.
But it was very awkward, but it ended up working out fine. But I'm thinking back as I read this article in the paper today, I'm thinking back to how uncomfortable it can be to meet your potential in-laws if you're dating in a situation. Here's a woman in the paper named Alicia Stubley. She's from North Yorkshire in England. And she was in the exact same situation we're discussing. She had a longtime boyfriend that had not met her parents yet, so they went around for tea, she says in the article. Her boyfriend's name is Andy, meeting her family for the first time. And at the table, her father pulls out a laminated list. Son-in-law material. He has a questionnaire prepared for questions for Andy.
He didn't just sketch it out because he knew Andy was coming over? He had it laminated.
He had it laminated.
What?
So now this has to feel like a job interview, right? This has to be the panic you feel when they say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Which, by the way, is question one on the son-in-law material list. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? You don't do that kind of a homework to prepare for tea with your girlfriend's parents, do you?
No, maybe, of course not.
I mean, I guess he's looking to see if he's suitable. All right, so that's question one. Number two, what qualities do you see in my daughter that makes you think she would make a good wife?
Fantastic Ooh. Rack. Right? That's the answer.
I don't think that goes over well.
Now, Jensen, you probably would have been able to answer that because it's easy to figure out things about your girlfriend that you like, right? Yeah. How would you answer this? What are your intentions with my daughter?
Banging?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Kevin, you'll never date again.
You are going to fail this quiz, my friend.
Bad for you. I'm really excited to get to know her better, and I feel like we have so much in common. Uh-huh. And,
No,
I would just be as honest as possible and just say, you know, I'm really excited to get to know her more.
You wouldn't even bring up butt stuff.
No, would not.
Okay.
No.
Question number four, boyfriend quiz. How well can you provide for a wife and family?
I'm hoping she supports me.
Kevin,
that's my answer.
Never date.
What?
This is
awful.
Number five, the greatest question ever for an older man that you've just met and you're dating his daughter. What is your history with pornography?
What?
Oh my
gosh. That was on the laminated list?
Yes.
Enjoy it. How about you?
No, what that seems like the wrong answer as well.
With pornography. What is Andy supposed to say to that?
Have you seen my movies? All nervous and scared.
What is he supposed to say to that? Because the dad asks it because he's hoping there's no history with pornography, which is ridiculous.
Then he knows he's lying.
Yeah.
So do you want to be a liar? There's no good answer.
There's no good answer. Yep. Question number six. Are there any activities you two enjoy doing together? Kevin, I'll let you handle that banging. Okay. Number seven. Do you have a temper? And this is where you should scream, hell no, and then like turn over the table, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a good question, but I don't know that anyone in that situation is going to own up to it in that situation.
Yeah, of course, you're not going to say to your girlfriend's
I really fly off the handle a lot.
I can't stop hitting women in the face, Dan. Oh. I don't know what to tell you.
How about they're asking for it?
Question number eight. How many women have you been with before my daughter?
Over 100. I stopped counting.
I would leave at this point.
Because that's not even a conversation he may have had with his girlfriend.
Yeah. At some point, you've got to say, sir, this is inappropriate, and this is something I should discuss with your daughter. And then what if he was like, that's correct. Check and goes on to the next question.
Nice.
Bean, do we know if this guy passed the quiz at the end of it or not?
He did pass the quiz, yes. Right. Last question, and this is, I think, my favorite of all. Number nine. Will you be prepared to look after my beehive when I go on a holiday?
Wait, hold up.
Question
is that
nine.
His nickname for his daughter?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
He has a beehive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's a beekeeper.
Yes, he wants to make sure that his daughter's new boyfriend is going to be prepared to look after the beehive when he takes a vacation.
I like how all the other questions are in interest of his daughter, and this is purely selfish.
Well, yeah, yes. I mean, he needs someone to look over the bees. They're
not
going to take care of themselves.
You failed. I'm sorry to say you won't be seeing my daughter again. But
how big a deal is this WWE SmackDown 20th anniversary coming to the Staples Center October 4th?
It's a big deal with it moving to Fox. Huge. It's their biggest deal ever, and they've announced like Hulk Hogan's going to be there. Ric Flair's going to be there.
Every major superstar from Raw and SmackDown Live are going to be there. Friday, October 4th, we're going to give you tickets. Or give you a chance to earn them anyway in about 5 minutes. 5 minutes from right now on the Kevin Bean Show. If you're a WWE fan, you do not want to miss that.
Yeah, and especially if you're like an old school fan, because the questions we have are going to be right up your alley.
Fantastic. Tragic story in the news. And the reason we bring it up, there's no silver lining. There's no laughs here. But the reason we bring it up is I need more information on this story. And I'm hoping there's somebody out there who is either a doctor or maybe in this case, a diver who can help explain what happened. I'm going to play some news or audio for you here in a minute. But the gist of the story is this couple from Louisiana, Stephen and Kenesha, have been dating for about 2 years. And he decides on this vacation that they're on to Pemba Island, which is off the coast of Tanzania, Eastern Africa. He decides that they're staying in this fantastic cabin. Have you guys seen the pictures?
You told me not to read this story.
Yeah, I did not see the pictures. No.
This is a beautiful cabin that is out in the water, and the bedroom is 30 feet underwater. So as you're laying in bed, you're actually looking at the ocean outside the giant windows in your bungalow. It's just gorgeous. He decides he is going to propose, and you'll hear the contents of the note that he covered in plastic and held up against the window while his soon-to-be fiancée was filming from inside, okay? So you get the gist. He goes out, He jumps into the water. He goes down about 30 feet to where the room is, where she can see him like he's in a fish tank, and holds up a note. Here's the story.
What does that say?
When Steven Weber proposed to girlfriend Kenesha Antoine.
Oh, I did too.
He did it with a little bit of daring, writing, "I can't hold my breath long enough to tell you everything I love about you."
I can't hold my breath long enough.
Yeah.
That becomes significant in a moment.
Oh. Her answer, a resounding yes, but Weber never heard the reply. He drowned shortly after this proposal.
What?
Yeah.
Yes, he drowned during the proposal. And here's why I need some help from a diver or a doctor at 1-800-520-1067. When you watch this video, Allie, you will see that he appears to be in peak health. He swims down there. He holds the sign up. She sees it. Then he reaches around and pulls out of the trunk of the pockets of the trunks that he's wearing. He pulls out an engagement ring and actually, you know, has the time to hold the ring up, open the box so that she can see it. And then you see him kind of push off and head toward the surface.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's videoing all of this from the room. So something happened between the time that he proposed and then started heading toward the surface to the time he got to the surface and was essentially unconscious.
And one of the reports that I had heard, too, said that it took so long for him to get up, like even though he's dead at that time. Like he was down there forever, which also
but
is weird.
Why?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Because he's not struggling. He's not rushing. He doesn't appear to be having any trouble holding his breath. How does he end up? And he was still alive when he got to the top, Jensen, because some boaters nearby pulled him up and gave him mouth to mouth and he had a pulse.
Oh, okay.
But then died afterwards. Like, what could have happened to this guy? He's 40 years old.
Could have had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Right at that time.
Brain aneurysm.
Stroke.
Something like that. Stroke.
Yeah.
This is what I'm wondering is, and forgive me if this is stupid, and this is why I want to talk to a diver. Is 30 feet down enough that you have to be careful going up? Is that far enough down that you have to start thinking about the bends or anything like that? Or not far enough?
30 is pretty low, man. I mean, I even feel like I get a little pressure at the bottom of like an 8-foot pool.
Really?
I do, yeah.
You're a mess. But 30 feet to go, because he has to go down the 30 feet.
Yeah.
And hold his breath, right?
Do the whole showing of the thing against the screen.
Which then, takes what, about 30 seconds, would you say,
yeah,
Jensen?
He could have... Yeah.
He also...
This is bad.
He went down there knowing that breath... Like, I know it was a joke kind of in the letter, but, yeah. Like, he did keep it in mind.
Yeah.
So it's also weird for him. You know, he didn't just go down there and be like, I could do this. He was kind of slightly... understanding that he would run
well,
out of breath.
He was making a pun. Yeah, he was making a pun in the letter, basically saying, I can't, about his breath, when he knew he was going to be underwater. All right, let's hear some more of the story.
The Louisiana couple, both 40 years old, had been together for 2 years.
So excited.
And were celebrating their love with a bucket list vacation.
Here we go.
Staying in a partially submerged hotel room about 30 feet underwater. The $1,700 a night room is the centerpiece of the Manta Resort, a luxurious hotel off the coast of Tanzania. Stephen's sister Mandy said their family knew Stephen was planning to pop the question, but weren't aware of his risky plans.
I mean, he probably thought, he planned this thing out and thought, what can go wrong? I'm just jumping into a pool, essentially. I'm going to do the do, and then I'm going to come back up, and we're gonna do it, right? I mean, that's what he was thinking.
Sure.
I wonder if when he was heading up, like he hit his head on some part of the house or something, like knocked him out, got disoriented. I don't know.
His fiance says in her Facebook posts, where she posted this video, you can actually see, "You never emerge from those depths, so you never got to hear my answer. Yes, yes, a million times yes, I will marry you," she said sadly after he was already dead. Let's go to line one at 1-800-520-1067. This is Matt Plata Ray. He is an ocean lifeguard. He sounds like somebody who may know something about this. Matt, thank you for listening. What's going on, dude?
Hey guys, yeah, you know, listen to the story. It sounds like I've been diving since I was 12 years old. I've been spearfishing pretty much since 12 to now, and it sounds like this guy got what's called shallow water blackout.
Oh,
what? Tell me about that.
So this is classic. It sounds like this. So it's shallow water blackout. It's pretty much you're not in that deep of water. 30 feet for diving. You know, it might be deep for some people, but it's not for a diver. you go down to that depth and you hold your breath for a really long time and you're really pushing it, which it sounds like this dude was doing, you know, you're going to shoot to the surface when you need air. And what often happens in shallow water blackout is people are diving. Usually it's with spear fishermen too. They hold their breath looking for fish. They're at the bottom for a really long time. They come up either too fast or they just come up like normal. And you get to the surface, it kind of probably feels like you're getting drunk. And as you get to the surface, you're kind of like getting all dizzy and then you just pass out. Yeah. Guys will go down, they make it up to the surface like this, and then they just end up losing consciousness and sink back down.
Oh my gosh.
So, so sad.
I honestly don't even like swimming. For this reason. I know that sounds insane. I like swimming above water or, like, you know, being in a pool.
Oh, you can swim above water?
No, well, you know, like...
Tell us more, like, Jesus.
I am... This is a weird way to come out as Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, like regular, you know, swim strokes. Like,
he's doing a freestyle stroke for those that can't see it.
I can do that. But anything below that low, like anything below 4 or 5 feet, I feel it in my head. I would never do this.
Yeah, Matt, and we've all felt that squeeze in your ear when you guys are diving. You know, you can feel that pressure kind of equalize and change.
Have you ever been around a situation where this has happened to someone, this shallow water blackout?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. So over near in the South Bay here in Palos Verdes, a lot of guys will, during the spring, they dive for a fish called a white sea bass. It's kind of a prized ocean fish to spear. You have to kind of like an underwater ninja to get them because they're really hard to find. And, you know, every other year or so, people will unfortunately kind of max out their ability and they'll stand or too long. And you'll hear it in the news. Yeah, guys do die doing this, you know. And unfortunately, this is exactly what happened to this guy proposing.
Well, you have answered all of my questions, and it sounds very likely that that's what's happened. So thank you very much for calling. We appreciate
it.
Thank you.
And what a just what a super sad story to go from the highest high of this amazing proposal for marriage and thinking this is the beginning of the rest of my life.
It's a dumb way to get out of a proposal, though. You know,
I don't think
that's what we're talking about here.
How cool is Kevin Nealon back on the Kevin Nealon show here on K-Rock?
You're right.
What's up, my friend?
It's all good, brother. It's all good.
Good to see you.
I always love coming here because, well, Kevin's here, and you're somewhere else in Etherland.
But we got Jensen. We got Allie. It's a party, right?
Oh, it is good. It is good. You guys have been doing this for so long now, 39
too long.
Years.
Some would say too long.
And
someone
told me an induction into the Hall of Fame for radio. Mm-hmm.
Radio Hall of Fame, that's right.
Congratulations.
You don't have to bring that up, but thank you.
But there's also still time for them to change their mind on that and pull it, too. You know,
we're trying to make that happen.
What's the award? Have you won an award that you are proud of, Kevin?
Other than Little League,
you know what? I think I've never won an award.
What?
Oh, come on! You must have been best show on the strip or something at some point, right?
No awards. And plus, I wouldn't accept any. You know, I'm not the kind of person. You know. I don't. Just being nominated is not enough for me either.
I see. You need to win.
You need
to win and not show up. Both.
Yeah. Okay.
Kevin, you've never even shared an SNL Emmy?
I think I was nominated for an Emmy. Maybe I did win one, a group thing, but I don't remember.
I feel like your memory's as good as mine, and that's not great.
You know, I have a lot of, like, a crystal at home from different, like, fun, you know, like people thanking me for doing things. But I don't consider those trophies or awards.
Sure.
You know?
All right. How about non-show business? You ever won like a bowling trophy or a swimming trophy or anything like that?
Nothing.
Wow.
Maybe drop it, man. Because you're starting to really push it on him.
My son, though, has about 20 trophies because everybody gets a trophy now when you're in school.
That's true. That's right. Yeah. Just for showing up.
That's how it should be in Hollywood, too. Not one person winning the Oscar. Everybody.
It's a lot of Oscars and a lot of speeches, though, Kevin.
It is.
Kevin Nealon, by the way, is not only one of the stars of the very popular CBS show Man with a Plan, which I always want to call Man Without a Plan for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, that's more like it, yeah.
He is going to be at the Irvine Improv for 4 big shows this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Tickets on sale now at improv.com. Great, great live show. And you are soon to be coming back with season 3 of your phenomenal Hiking with Kevin show. Have you figured out how many miles you've hiked in the filming of this show?
No, I haven't, but I've done, let's see, 62. I've done about 77 hikes so far.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the shortest one lasts about an hour and 10 minutes. So
why are you always out of breath then? At the beginning of it,
I wonder that too.
At the very beginning, you're out of breath.
You know why that is? Because it's really the end of the hike, and I'm doing the intros.
Hollywood magic.
That's a lie.
Here's what it is. I've done the hike, and then I walk the person to their car. I thank them, and then I have to go all the way back to the trail and do the intros and the outros.
Seems like a bad plan. But okay.
Yeah, I want to start doing it in a studio.
Mm-hmm. Were you a big hiker and that's why you did the show, or did you have to start hiking because you came up with a great idea of a different way to interview celebrities?
Well, first of all, good question. Thank you. I used to, I always liked hiking in the canyons around L.A., you know, because it's a nice kind of form of exercise. And meditation, first and foremost, for me, that's where I kind of do a lot of thinking and writing when I'm on the trail.
And it's very picturesque as well.
It is picturesque. And
oh,
I
you
noticed...
find beautiful places to walk, man. You really do.
Yeah.
More than I would have expected. More than what I would have expected in Southern California. I just don't know the hiking situation.
I didn't either for a long time. I lived here for a long time. And then all of a sudden I started this hiking thing and I started discovering all these trails, beautiful trails with great views. And a lot of rattlesnakes, too, by the way, in the summer.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But for me, yeah, it is a meditation thing. And I also noticed that when people walk by me, the conversations they were having was pretty, you know, revealing and personal, you know, and I think that brings it out in people when they're hiking outside. You know, it becomes, because they're not looking at you in the eye and there's no audience, and it's kind of like a, you know, therapy for a lot of people.
Is it hard? Have you had celebrities go, you know what, I'm not into hiking? Like, literally, I don't want to do it because I don't want to hike.
Like Larry Flint, somebody like that you might have had?
Oh, my gosh.
You did not say that. Yeah, some people for sure. Like, you know, it took me a while to get David Spade to go hiking because he only wanted flat. And so I found a trail that was flat.
They put
flat
regulations on it for you.
Yeah.
Look, I'll walk around the parking lot at Target for you, but that's about it. I'm not going up a hill.
That's right. Someone wanted to walk through Beverly Hills just in the flat. I said, okay, but can I have people holding bushes behind you as we're walking?
Got to keep up the theme, of
course.
Yeah,
that's right. But anyway, Spade was complaining because there was like a 1% grade on part of the hike.
You know,
a little bit of an incline.
That can be rough.
Yeah. But for the most part, people, you know, they like to walk and hike.
I feel like you're in better shape than anyone you walk with, though.
I think the opposite, Bean. I think I'm always huffing and puffing. I don't know why it is. Maybe it's because I'm carrying the equipment and, you know, I'm talking a lot. And it's tough when you're going up hills. Yeah. Most of the hikes now aren't that difficult as they were in the beginning. The first year I was like hiking up, you know, really like inclines. But I
that's
noticed
the year you did Everest, right?
That's right. I noticed though from watching the videos that you can't really tell how steep a hill is when you're on the video.
So why do it there?
So why go on a steep incline?
Smart.
The one with Conan worried me because I was so worried about sunscreen and everything. The man shouldn't be out there.
No, he is whiter than a lighter shade of pale. He's just really, and he told me about how he used to get burned as a kid. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd be on an aluminum boat with no sunblock on, and he would just fry.
That's just bad parenting. You could
hear, why would that happen?
You could hear the blisters crackling on him as you're walking.
Wow. That's not what
he's
you
like
want.
An egg.
Yeah, it's like a frying pan. Yeah.
One of the episodes, and by the way, this if you don't know, this Hiking with Kevin show is a YouTube series, two seasons gone, and you put up a phenomenal sizzler trail of kind of a montage of your season two guests, which is just so great.
Thank you.
You revealed at one point, and I forgive me, Kevin Nealon, for not remembering who you showed it to, but the thing that you were wearing on a necklace around your neck while you were hiking.
Yes. That was an urn that contained part of Gary Shandling. Gary Shandling was a friend of mine, and he died.
Yeah, I know you were very close. Yeah. And is that something you wear often to have him with you?
Not often, but I do like wearing it once in a while.
It's very sweet.
Sometimes when I go to an open house, I'll wear it because we used to love to go to open houses together.
You know, no.
Yeah.
Gary
loved houses. He loved architecture and homes.
No thought of buying, just wanted to look.
It excited him because he was always looking to transform his house that he lived in. He was never happy with his house.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like a runner for him that he never finished construction on things, right?
Yeah, I would joke. I would say, you know, Gary has this beautiful home in this park-like setting, beautiful views of the ocean, and it's just so comfortable. Yet that was his albatross.
Yeah.
You know,
isn't that something?
Wow. Yeah.
That's so very sweet that you obviously still mourn him and miss him, but remember him so fondly with that urn. Are you part of? Are you involved in the Judd Apatow book that's coming out on Gary?
I was in the documentary.
I remember that. Yeah.
The Zen of Gary Shandling or something like that. But I don't know the book. Is it about the same thing?
Yeah, it's on pre-order right now. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it'll cover a lot of the same ground.
if it's already up for pre-order.
I'm sure it'll cover a lot of the same ground, though.
But, I don't know if he's just transcribing the documents.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Quickly writing it down at home.
Yeah. Quick break. Kevin Nealon is here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about, among other things, the Irvine Improv shows. And I understand you are doing a bunch of new material right now, right? That's a great time to see you.
That's right. I'm working on a new special. You know, a lot of comics come out with a special like once a year.
Right.
Because they're at the clubs every night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a family. And so I'm not out there every night. So it takes a little bit longer.
And you got all that hiking to do.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I looked at my last special because I was trying to figure out when was the last time I did a special. It was like 7 years ago.
Really?
And I barely have enough for a new special now.
You got to get out after there 7 years.
But those, can you believe we have a black president jokes really hold up, though, right?
They really do. They really, really
Improv. Do. Improv.com/Irvine to buy your tickets Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the shows. More with Kevin in a moment on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Okay. That's a choice.
Wait, that was over.
That's a choice.
It was done.
What are you going to do?
Kevin Nealon, hi.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Kevin. I'm sorry. Did I interrupt?
No, go ahead.
You've been all over the most beautiful spots in Europe recently.
I have been.
I've been so jealous seeing the stuff that you've been posting on your social media.
Oh, man. What a great trip that was.
Were you touring or was this vacation?
It was vacation. Yeah.
You ever put them together? Do some dates so that you can call it work?
Sometimes, but not this time. You know, it was a couple days in Paris, and then I don't know if you get these pamphlets like for cruises, like they send junk mail. You know, they're always on our counter from Viking Cruise, or you know, and we always just throw them right away. For years, we've been getting them, and then a couple years ago, my wife and I were trying to think of where to go on vacation. And
we looked down.
As we were digging through the trash, we found one of these. And we thought, how do we try one of these cruises? You know, it's a river boat cruise, so it's not like a big cruise ship out there. It's like a two-level thing and not that many people. And so we've been taking these cruises like every year, and it's been kind of
easy
and fun.
Really? Every year?
Well, yeah, for the last couple of years. And this summer we went, and usually we do it in the winter. So you see the Christmas markets, and I've never been that type of person, you know. But it's really easy. You just unload your stuff on the boat. You don't have to unpack, and you just watch the cities go by.
They feed you like a whale, man. They just shovel it in.
Oh my God! And there's like more staff than there are passengers, so they're hovering over you as you're eating. And if you put your fork down for a second, they'll rush over and straighten it. You know, they'll tuck the napkin into your shirt, and they'll even hold your arm and help you feed yourself.
Very nice. When you start getting full.
It sounds like a retirement.
It does.
Maybe it is. Who's more different than me than a man that loves hiking and cruises? Those are my two no-nos because of murder.
She thinks she'll be killed.
Yeah, because of murder.
You push cruises, people over the cruise?
Oh, yeah.
Not on a river.
Not on a river.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Not as easy.
Yeah, not as easy. Well, I think that's an unfound fear. Has it happened before? Have you been killed before?
I have twice. I don't like to talk about it. Wonderful question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, you know, what I do, the hiking thing, it's not like a serious thing. I have sneakers I wear. It's not like even hiking boots. You know, so it's more like a walk / hiking.
Still, though, killed.
You could get killed.
I mean, it's possible.
By the way,
according to Ali, it's very possible.
I used to hike in Malibu at the Malibu State Park. Mm-hmm. I did a few hikes up there. And then I think last summer, they were finding bodies up there. There was a killer.
Yeah, there was a murder that killed a dad in front of his kids. And
yeah.
About camping,
yeah.
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 It's got dark.
So, you know,
where were you during that time?
Look, nothing is safe.
When I was younger, I went on a cruise to Alaska, and I didn't have any idea that it had to be 85 and older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone was 85 and older, and I was just like, this is not my crew.
Did you think you were going to be, like, meeting women? And
I was just like, oh, this is going to be the best. And then it was like bingo at 5 p.m. That's all that mattered. This is the wrong cruise for me.
You know, a great cruise would be one of those things, like a barge they take through the south of France or, you know, through the Bordeaux area, an old barge where there's only, like, maybe six people on the boat. That sounds like it would be fun.
Okay.
I think that's called a canoe, Kevin.
I mean, what a great place for a murder, huh?
What countries did you go through this most recent trip?
Good question. I went through, this is the Eastern Bloc.
It doesn't count if everything's a good question.
And thank you for asking me that. It was Serbia. It was Croatia.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Austria. And it was Hungary.
Remember, you are under oath.
That sounds amazing.
I swear to God, it was all of those places. And it was really interesting. Croatia, you know, because they were just in war from 1991 to 98 or something like that. And so you could still see bullet holes in the plaster on some of the homes.
That sounds like a party.
It was.
Do you ever get recognized there?
A couple of times I did. Here's the funny story. I was in Austin doing a radio show with a friend of mine. You know, you go to the same radio stations all the time. It gets kind of boring. And I go to see my buddy down there. He's got a radio station. And we go out to have lunch afterwards. And this last time I went a couple months ago, he goes, you know, just after a few years of doing a show and going out afterwards, he goes, you know, I notice you're getting less recognized.
Very nice.
And I said, I never really thought about that, but you might be right. I'm not getting that many people coming up to me. And then it was the same in Europe. I don't think I got recognized. I mean, maybe one time, some guy was a fan of Weeds. Mm-hmm. No, it was a girl on the plane, so it wasn't even in Europe.
It was the flight attendant.
Yeah.
You're not mad at that, Kevin. I mean, that's refreshing for you.
It is refreshing.
Yeah, of course.
Because you know how much I was hassled by people.
Swamped. I mean, it was practically Bieber fever when you would go out.
I couldn't go anywhere. I could not go anywhere. But it is kind of nice. I mean, it's nice to know I don't need that anymore.
That is nice.
Mm. Yeah.
That is nice. Some people really live for it.
They do.
And that's a dangerous thing. Yeah.
The way they walk into a room to get recognized.
Yep.
Although, you know, I could wear a hat and sunglasses and people still recognize me by, I think it's just like your aura or your posture.
You know, you're walking tall, by. Too. Yeah, I mean, you have like that's a certain stature. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And I have a statue, too.
Yes,
and I have statues. I have statues all over Europe. I didn't know that.
Of you?
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
That does make it harder. Yeah.
I saw a funny thing in, I went to Slovakia, too. I went to Bratislava.
I knew you were holding out.
Right? He was holding out Slovakia.
Yep. And it's an old village, and, you know, it's touristy, and there's a guy, you know, these guys that pretend they're statues?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
This guy dressed up as a statue, and he's got the money thing out there. And there was a real crappy statue next to him, like 10 feet away. And everybody was at the crappy statue. And that guy is trying to stand really perfectly still, you know, working really hard at nothing. And they're all over at this other little statue.
At any point, you go, hey, I'm alive.
Yeah, I'm alive.
I know I look like a statue. That's what I'm trying to do.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
But I need to raise money.
Working hard here.
Yeah, this guy wasn't a good statue because he was juggling, too.
Okay, well, that's
a giveaway, right?
You got to pick one or the other. You can't be a juggler and a statue.
You told Dave in the other room that you juggle.
How did you know that? Was I bugged in that room?
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have
means of communication.
Right.
Yeah.
Used to juggle.
And I can still juggle. I just don't do it that much anymore.
How many items? Because I can juggle three, but I can't do four.
I've done four before.
Oh,
yeah, but it doesn't last long.
Well, I can do it if it doesn't last long.
I've done four, and I do pins, too. I could do the clubs.
Whoa. No, sir.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well, I hope that's going to be part of the Irvine shows this weekend.
people love it when you start off juggling.
improv.com/Irvine. Tickets available for as low as $25 to see the great Kevin Nealon on stage.
Legendary.
Legendary.
Sorry. Legendary.
Great,
yes.
Great and legendary.
Yeah. Friday, 7:30, then two shows on Saturday, and then the Sunday at 7. Before you go, Mr. Nealon, you know we love you, and it's always a thrill to have you. Allie is going to fire 60 seconds worth of questions at you. We just want you to answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. Here is 60
There's
seconds.
There's no right or wrong, right?
No.
That's correct.
I mean, there can
there
be
is.
A wrong.
There is, but we say no.
There can there be a wrong, yeah.
Okay. 60 seconds.
Hold Kevin Nealon.
Hold on. We're waiting for the timer.
Okay. Muggs was unprepared for this.
Go, Muggs.
And here is 60 seconds with Kevin Nealon.
If you could join the cast of any TV show, past or present, which would you choose?
Friends.
Dream hiking date?
Obama.
Ooh. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Who do you think is the funniest comic of all time?
That's tough.
Andy Kaufman.
Ooh.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest a-hole?
Polar bear. No, it's true. It's true.
Okay. All right.
How is it true?
No, it's documented.
How do you know that?
It's documented.
Okay. It's documented. Okay.
Science.
Creepiest thing you could say to a stranger that you pass in the street.
Hey, would you look at this?
Swizzlers or Red Vines?
Swizzlers.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
No.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Could be.
Oh. What was your first job?
Dishwasher.
Would you ever have a carpeted bathroom?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh. That's a wrong answer.
That's a wrong answer. I'm sorry. We have to wrap this up.
It wasn't even 60 seconds.
And we have to kick you out for that answer, too.
It wouldn't be totally carpeted, just by the toilet. just to catch the residuals.
Oh. A couple samples.
And it would be a shag carpet.
Of course. You wouldn't have anything less. Thank you, Kevin. We appreciate it.
By the way, animal stories in about 15 minutes or so, including one of the craziest tiger stories I've ever heard. You guys haven't heard about this one yet. The tigers?
No.
Maybe.
Some very weird mating habits going on with tigers
no.
these days.
Oh, no.
And the great director Robert Rodriguez from Alita Battle Angel joins us just after 7 as well. First, though, Allie.
Bean.
You're cruising the real estate listings the other day, and you come across something you think you might want to buy.
Indeed. I don't know about you guys, but do you often look at, like, Zillow and Redfin, those type of listings?
The time. I love it.
Me too.
I'm a complete voyeur when it comes to other people's houses.
If you get invited to someone's house for dinner, do you Zillow it?
Yes. See how much they paid for it? Absolutely.
Well, I walk around my neighborhood, you know, with Linus, and anytime a house goes up for sale, Donna and I write down the address. We can't wait to get home and look it up and see what it looks like on the inside.
Yes, totally. Well, here's the thing. There is one house in particular that has been viewed more than 500,000 times on Redfin. And when I tell you that's a lot of views, and it just went up on Wednesday of last week.
Jeez.
Okay.
500,000 views. Let me just explain this house for you. It's in a quiet Philadelphia suburb, 5,000 square foot colonial, gourmet kitchen, 5 bedrooms, hardwood floors, great school district. It's $750,000. It's a home in Maple Glen.
What
comes
a deal.
Fully furnished, you guys.
Wow.
And it's fully furnished with a large finished basement, including whips, chains, bondage equipment, and a swing.
Yeah. Excuse me?
What?
Wait, whips, hold on, back up.
Chains, bondage equipment, and a swing. All in the basement.
But you said it's in a great school district? I mean,
yes. Okay. Yes, exactly.
By the way, that house in LA, what's that cost?
Oh,
$3 million?
$3 million at least, yeah. So the listing agent, Melissa Leonard, says it's what I call a private adult playground or sexual oasis. They're calling it 50 Shades of Maple Glen. But neighbors are not happy about this, you guys. As you can imagine, finding out that someone lives in your neighborhood that enjoys sex is very disturbing to neighbors.
This is America, Allie. We pretend that nobody ever has sex, ever.
Well, here's one of my favorites. This was on a local affiliate in Philly. A guy named Barry Katz, who's one of the neighbors, said, "It's not for us. Take it downtown. Take it to Los Angeles or Hollywood or wherever. Just not here."
What possible difference can it make what your neighbors are doing as consenting adults in their basement?
Amen.
Next
Amen.
To your house. What possible difference can it make?
It's also, pretty insane.
You wouldn't even know it existed Mm-mm. unless they put it in the real estate ad.
That's
like,
right.
And that's the whole point of a lot of the neighbors that are like, why did you have to put that in there? You could have sold this house anyway. So Melissa Leonard, the real estate agent, was doing an interview with Slate. Mm-hmm. And she was approached by a really mad neighbor. And he's like, you got to take it down. We're very upset about the whole thing. Take it off the internet. It's disgusting. We don't want that. And she said, if the owner wants those photos, that's his choice. And he said, look at all these people. They're driving here to see the sex house. And the woman was like, no, it's just because every single live TV truck is in the neighborhood because this is somehow a story now. It's insane. And you may be wondering, okay, well, 500,000 views on Redfin, does that mean anyone's actually interested in the house or if they're just looky-loos?
Yeah.
She said she had 38 showings scheduled through Wednesday, and she's not concerned that people are going to be not wanting the house because of the bonus
Dungeon,
if you will, because I don't know. You can change it. You don't have to keep it like that.
You could easily turn that into a nursery.
Amen.
Exactly. When you buy a house that's furnished,
right.
You keep what you want and you get rid of the rest.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people are wondering why they're keeping it like that. Like a lot of places are staged differently. Why not stage it differently? He rents out the house on Airbnb for up to $2,000 a night. So... Yeah, he wanted to keep the accoutrements in the house because a lot of people were renting it.
Well, that's
for
more
that.
Annoying to me. I don't want my neighbor's Airbnb all the time.
Yeah, amen, amen. But the part of this article that I really kind of latched onto was this. I'm sorry for laughing, but the owner lost his wife last year and then renovated the basement with this new girlfriend.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
No. Very dark turn.
Wow, has his life changed?
Or is that how she died?
Even creepier. He and his children, one in high school, one in college, live there part-time. Sorry, mommy's dead. Here's my new girlfriend. She's going to be tied up in the basement.
Okay, so keep on listening. Your chance to win in minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show, a four-pack of passes to the Disneyland Resort. And by the way, that includes the all-new land Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. These are red hot, these tickets. You can win them on the way from K-Rock.
You watch the news, and it's depressing because all they do is highlight negative stories. And that's why on Mondays, we do great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
I'll take it first, you guys. It is World Pride Month. Cities all over the world are celebrating LGBTQ people. Lots of parades happening. And at one parade in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Pride Parade, there was a dad named Howie Dittman who showed up with a t-shirt that had some parade goers really emotional. His t-shirt simply read, "Free Dad Hugs." And he posted about how he gave out hundreds of hugs, some of them super happy, but he highlighted a couple that were just too many like these two that he did. One of them, he said, her story, I don't know the specifics, but I know that she saw me from across the street. I wasn't paying attention. By the time she got to me, she had tears in her eyes. She stood in front of me and looked up at me with a look of sadness and helplessness that I'll never forget. She hugged me with everything she had, and I hugged her back. She held on for so long, melting into me and thanked me endlessly, and I can't stop thinking about her. What she must be going through with her family, the ones who are supposed to be there for her no matter what. Who does she go to when she needs advice on love, money, or just life? Who does she share old memories with that only her parents would have been there for? What are her holidays like? How often does she hope for that phone call with unconditional love on the other end? I don't know her story, but it doesn't feel like a huge leap to assume she's lost those who should show her the most and forever. Mm. And then he said, basically, imagine, I'm going to get emotional, imagine that your child feels so lost from you that they sink into the arms of a complete stranger and sob endlessly just because it's a hug from a dad and that person doesn't get it.
How come when I wear a free hugs shirt to a parade? Everybody looks at me like a weirdo.
A creep.
This guy's like, oh, he's so great. He's so wonderful.
So he then finishes with saying, please don't be the parent of a child that has to shoulder that burden. I met way too many of them of all ages today. And basically is saying, oh, my God, I wore a shirt that said free hugs. And it ruined people because that's all they want from their own father is a hug. But they've been cut off because of who they love. And that is just so sad. But what a beautiful thing for him to have done.
Very nice.
So with that, I say, Howie Dittman, you're my great news.
I wasn't ready. I'm
no,
sorry.
Howie Dittman, you're my great okay. You're up next.
Okay, go ahead.
Great.
Welcome to my world, Allie.
All right. Mine, comes from Las Vegas. There is a hospital there that took time Wednesday morning to pay tribute to an 18-year-old named Michael Sigler. He got in a motorcycle accident on the day of his high school graduation. He got in a motorcycle accident, and they were keeping him alive on machines. And 2 weeks before that, he had realized, being a donor is important.
Oh, wow.
So, and by the way, I was a jackass when I was a senior in high school. There's no way I'm thinking that much about other people like he did. So he thought, I'm riding a motorcycle. Maybe I just need to be safe and make sure that I can be a donor. And basically, he was able to save 9 other people's lives
wow.
by himself. by being a donor.
He died, by the way. We should mention
he did
that, right?
Die. Yes, yeah. And before he died, and this is a video that I don't know that you should watch, Allie, especially because it's they all lined the hallways of the hospital.
The families of the people.
First of all, the employees, then the families of the people that he was saving, then his own family, and they were all saying goodbye to him, and they were just everybody was crying because this is an amazing thing that an 18-year-old did. And he did, unfortunately, end up dying, but he was able to save 9 other lives. And I think that also deserves great news.
We're an emotional mess today. Bean, take it home with something that sucks.
I think you guys will like this story. It's a very sweet story about an 89-year-old named Ronald Dembler who lives in a suburb of Atlanta in Georgia. Nope, not yet. Suburb of Atlanta in Georgia. He had been to the hospital, had no one to pick him up, so called an Uber. Lauren Mulvihill was his Uber driver, and she not only took the man home, but helped him inside his house. Again, he's 89 years old with a lot of health problems. She was horrified by what she saw in his house. Terrible conditions. Trash everywhere, dishes everywhere. It smelled of urine, dog poop all over the house.
He lived by himself, just
yes.
Unable
he lived
to take
by himself, unable to take care of himself. In fact, he no longer had nursing care coming to the house because of the condition of the house. They wouldn't come anymore. It was just filled with garbage. And she said, "I can't let you live like this." She calls him Mr. Ronald. "I can't let you live like this." He has no living family, apparently no friends. So she put up on Facebook. She said, "This is too big a job for me, but we have to help this guy. He's a veteran, and he's old, and he needs help." Well, as you can imagine, because it's in the great news segment, dozens and dozens and dozens of people responded. They came forward. They began to clean and help strip apart the house. In just a week's time, they'd already removed all the garbage, the old furniture, the old carpet. Now they're painting the walls. They're putting in a new floor. They've got somebody coming in to fix the mold. A local restaurant started catering for all of the volunteers.
Wow.
So it just became this huge community thing. And he's got so many friends now, so many people that are going to be dropping by to look in after him, and he will not have to live like that anymore. And they've arranged for the nurses to start coming back to the house now that the conditions have improved. They got somebody to help him take care of his dog. I mean, all of this happened just as a result of him having a beautiful young woman be his Uber driver to take him home from the hospital.
Oh, wow. I don't know how many people would get out of their own car to help. He's an 89-year-old man, that's something.
I think he had trouble walking, you know? So, I mean, yeah, you're right. There are a lot of Uber drivers who would just say, "Beat it, old man," and just pull up to the curb, right? But the fact that she went in, saw that, and didn't just say, "Not my problem," is unbelievable.
Agreed.
So,
I bet he still didn't tip.
Let's be honest, you're saying
7:15. It looks like he's going to be
We're
going to
get the details on the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, we are. Hey, there's a podcast called The B-Team. If you haven't heard about it and you are a big fan of this show and our podcast, The Kevin and Bean Show, you may be interested in The B-Team. So it's DJ Omar Khan, it's producer Dave, King of Mexico, and it's our own Beer Mug. And they basically tell, they do their own stuff too, but they mostly tell stories about the behind the scenes of The Kevin and Bean Show, revisit past topics and tape. And this most recent episode includes a portion of the interview with the great Bobby Boris Pickett, by the way. The Monster Mash man. Mm-hmm. So that alone makes it worth downloading. But apparently somebody told a story on the podcast.
Who was that somebody being?
Somebody told a story where somebody actually said in real life, not for comedy and not ironically, "Don't you know who I am?"
Now, that line has always just meant death to us. Like,
absolutely.
Anyone that uses that, got no time for you in my life.
Right. Who do you think that person might be?
Let's see, DJ Omar Khan. Uh-huh. He would do it comedically.
Well, they don't say it's someone on the podcast. It could be someone off the podcast, right? Oh. I mean, it could be anyone on the show.
Then me.
Well, I don't think it was you.
Oh, it wasn't. Okay.
You would know that.
I don't think it was you.
I would say Dave. That's a very Dave King of Mexico thing to say.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, guys.
Mugs.
Listen to me. But your beer mug.
Exactly. First of all, two things. Number one, I hate whenever I'm in public and somebody has to tell somebody what I do, who I work for, what my
you
name
hate
is.
That.
I hate that. Uh-huh. It makes me super uncomfortable.
Right. Wait, hold on. Number two.
You're a loser.
Hey, whoa. We'll get to that part. It makes
just so you know, you're not in charge of this.
Hold on. I want to okay. defend myself. It makes me super uncomfortable whenever we're out in public and somebody wants to tell somebody who I am. Number two, I did not use the specific words, "Do you know who I am?" but sort of, kind of, a little bit. I was at...
Good defense.
That's a hell of a defense, yeah. Muggs. I don't know how we can poke holes in that.
The jury will like to come up with its now, judgment now.
A lot of people will assume, and rightfully so, that there are a lot of benefits that come with this job, mm-hmm. working for K-Rock.
Mm-hmm. It's both. Some people hate, some people love.
Right. So
you never know.
A lot of the times, it goes with the I don't like for people to kind of tell
Stop
other people
saying
who
that.
I
You're the person that said
I don't.
This.
So when it comes to, like, me getting benefits from something, I will always opt out. Like, whether if I'm in Las Vegas and, like, you know, they're going to hook up somebody, you know, from the media with a table. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want
That's good, to... because that's what you do for us.
I don't.
He's so great. He's that's like, excellent. When I get benefits, like things that'll help my job,
right.
I say no.
Oh,
I just...
an interview opportunity? No way. Makes me uncomfortable.
When there are things that are beneficial for the Kevin and Bean show, I look them straight in the eyes and I say, not today, Satan.
So I want to let you guys... I want to let you guys know, through my 13 years with the Kevin and Bean show mm-hmm. and 15 with K-Rock, mm-hmm. I have never once okay. used my job to get me something. Okay.
Were you at one point, let's say, at a
strip club?
Yes, I was, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
do you have a shirt from said strip club?
Well, so the whole thing was I was sitting there and the strip club DJ gets on the mic and goes, all right, gentlemen, it is time. 2-for-1 lap dances. Get your 2-for-1 lap dances. You will not only get a two-song dance with the lovely ladies here at Spearmint Rhino, but you will get a Spearmint Rhino t-shirt thrown into the 2-for-1 deal.
All right, so let me just stop you right there. How is it possible that at this point you use the words or very close to, don't you know who I am?
Because right now it seems like it's for a shirt and two dances.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Once I heard lap dances, whatever. Once I heard free Spearmint Rhino shirt,
sure.
I could not.
I mean, would push anyone
turn
over the edge.
This down.
Okay.
So then I go up to it appeared to be one of the bouncers. I was
before
like,
you say this, yeah. couldn't you have just gotten the dance and the shirt?
I didn't want to spend the $60 for the 2-for-1.
Wow. Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm a
so
working
wait,
father.
So hold on a yeah. second. Mm-hmm. So they offered you a free T-shirt with the lap dance,
yeah.
but you wanted the free T-shirt without the lap dance?
Yeah, because you have
you go to hell, you
Amen.
Son of a bitch.
Amen. They're putting themselves through college.
Oh my
Look,
God!
You heard friends with benefits and said, "I'll take friends."
Here's the thing: I didn't want to have to pay for the lap dance. I just want to work my way around that and go straight to the shirt. So I go to the bouncer. I go, "Hey, man, what's going on?" My name is, I actually work for a radio Uh-oh. Station right here.
This is what you hate now. I just want to clarify.
This is what I hate.
You hate this.
But I said, you know what? I've never used it in my life.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to start now. So I go, I work at the world famous K-Rock. It's a radio station here in L.A.
Hate you.
My name is Beer Mug from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Murder.
Right?
My name is Beer Mug from the Kevin and Bean Show. I was wondering if I could get one of those sweet Spearmint Rhino shirts without kind of like having to get the lab. Just get the shirt. Just hook it up. You know, maybe you know, because I'll.
Are you on cocaine right now?
I wish. Do you have some?
He's got a lot of energy.
At the strip club or right now?
No, no. Oh. Both, but go ahead.
So I said, you know, it'd be cool if I get one of those shirts because, like, I'm in the studio a lot and there's a lot of social media and cameras.
Oh, wow.
So,
I'm in the public eye.
So the guy,
I need a shirt.
So the bouncer's like, hold on, let me see what I could do. So he walks away, and then 10 minutes later, comes back.
By
10
way,
minutes!
10-minute conversation. Hey, there's a total weirdo outside. He says he works for a radio station. How much do those shirts cost us? $1? Honestly, it's worth it. Let's get this guy off our
back. Get him to go away.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, my first ever benefit from working from the Kevin and Bean Show, a Spearmint Rhino Gentleman's Club t-shirt that I haven't worn once.
Was it worth selling your soul to get it?
If it was an extra large and not a double X, maybe.
What's the problem?
I have bought some Chinese food and it's not to par to me, and I asked to get my money back, and they acting like they don't understand me and took my food and won't give me my money back.
And this is why you called 911.
What am I supposed to do? Jump over the thing and beat him up and get my money back?
I mean, those are the only two options.
Great, great point, man.
I don't know that we've done this before, but we want to hear from you if you have ever called 911 and after the fact you thought, you know what?
maybe I could have handled that spider on my own. Maybe I didn't need to involve emergency personnel. We want you to call us at 1-800-520-1067. I got a couple more for you.
What do you need
medicine
for?
The problem is I took some pills, and I took two Viagra pills, and my erection had been up for like 4 days, and there hasn't been any signs of change whatsoever, and I'm really sick.
Now, is that a legit 911
call?
Yes, four days. Is that a just go to the emergency room one?
Well, maybe he can't drive because he's got such a big boner.
He can drive without his hands is what he can do.
Right?
All right, so you're going to allow that one. How about this one?
Head County 911, what is the address of your emergency?
Hello? I need some cigarettes.
Oh, man.
I'm saying yes on that one. All right, one more.
Talk emergency.
It's not an emergency. I walked up, they went and served me. So I'm at the Taco Bell at 137th and wants to camp. Yeah, I just want some tacos. That's it.
What are the employees saying?
You can't walk up. You got to drive up. You got to eat DUI to get a taco. I get the munchies. I walk a quarter mile from here. You got to help me out, or I have to get arrested to get home. You know what I'm saying? I want you to call the manager. When I get refused service for no reason, it pees me off. So I call you guys. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't. I just wants to walk up and get a taco, you guys.
He did make a good point about DUIs,
he
though.
He did. That's true. I have to drive a car to get this food. Yeah. I'm drunk. All right. Your call's coming in at 1-800-520-1067. You called 911 for a lame reason. I heard yesterday from a 911 operator named Kim, and she says, allow me a moment to share some of the crazy dumb S I've heard.
All right.
I had a guy trying to report that his meth didn't quite meet his quality standards. He wanted us to have a lab team go test it for purity. We take way too many fast food related 911 calls.
Why does that seem to happen so much?
Yeah. Drunk.
Drunk.
Yeah. Drunk. The most recent one I had was a guy calling because there was lettuce on his tacos.
Oh, no.
Tacos that he had delivered from Uber Eats. He wanted us to send the police to Taco Bell to make them give him a new order, and wanted the police to deliver it because he was too drunk to drive.
Ooh, the police to deliver it. Wow.
I want that confidence. You know?
Yes. By the way, can't you just take the lettuce off your tacos?
Yeah, I mean, I would think so.
I would think so, too. A guy called last week asking where he could pick up a copy of his mugshot because he liked the picture.
I mean, if it's a good picture.
And you want high res.
Why not?
A guy called advising that he was going to turn himself in for a large warrant the next day and wanted to know if he could pack his slippers for jail. My all-time favorite, says Kim. Girl called in as she was driving to work in the morning and wanted the police to do something about the sun shining in her eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can handle.
Yeah.
She ranted on and on about it being so dangerous, and she was completely appalled when I told her we didn't have the power to dim the sun.
That checks out.
I also informed her of the fantastic inventions of sunglasses and sun visors. Thanks for all the years of great laughs in the morning. I love you guys, Kim. Kim, thank you so
much.
That's
craziness.
Yeah. I love that. By the way, how many times have you guys ever called 911? I've called a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one or two.
I called once.
What were they for? Were they for accidents and stuff?
One guy was stabbed on my street.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
were you the first call?
By you?
No, it wasn't by me. Right. Thank you, though, for asking. Mm-hmm. Great follow-up.
Yeah.
No, I was not the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mine was just for, like, a screaming, yelling homeless person on our street that was, like, running up and down with their arms. I was more concerned for them than mm-hmm. I was, you know.
I also called to see if they thought I should get bangs.
their thoughts on that?
Yeah, they're like, ma'am, you can't, but send us a picture. How big is your forehead?
I called them after the ending of Sopranos. I was like, you guys got to
do something. This is ridiculous.
It's a terrible ending.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Why did you call 911 in retrospect? Maybe not a great idea. Why don't we start with Philip? He's in Los Angeles. Line 3 up first on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Philip.
Hey, what's up, Kevin and Bean?
You tell us.
Talking about 911 calls. What'd you do?
Well, yeah, I had a 911 call. I called the police. I had explosive diarrhea.
Oh.
Okay, and?
And how were they to help you with that?
You expected help how?
Well, I was holding it, and then while I was on the phone, I couldn't. It just blew.
Right.
And you needed their help.
But we're saying, why in that instance would you call them?
Maybe it was definitely a little bit of an emergency. I was hoping they could help with the cleanup, you know.
Okay. To get up or get down. 911 is joking, yo. I'm going to say I don't buy any of this.
Is it a toilet baby?
It's possibly a toilet baby. All right. Do we have time for Cooper? Or do we need to take a quick break?
No, we have time.
All right. Cooper, Los Angeles, line four. Cooper was a 911 dispatcher. Oh. And by the way, we opened the calls up to 911 dispatchers, past or present, as well, in addition to you making the call. Cooper, thank you for dialing in. What's going on, man?
Hey, not too much. How are you guys?
Good. Great. So this all sounds very familiar to you, this list that I read from Lister Kim.
Yeah, you guys are kind of calling it, but it's actually pretty true. A lot of people call for some pretty ridiculous stuff.
Mostly from fast food restaurants? You get a lot of those?
A range of everything. You'd be surprised.
All right. Tell us what you remember.
One thing that comes to mind specifically, I had a toddler call in because of a situation on Dora the Explorer. It wasn't Swiper like you would think, but it was something else that was going on. And then it was just a very actually intellectual conversation with a toddler for a while. I think it was her first time calling 911.
Somebody else is calling 911. It's just ringing and ringing and ringing.
Right. Yeah. Hey, my house is on fire, but the dispatcher is on talking about Dora the Explorer.
You see, in Dora's backpack, she has things that you wouldn't even know. Someone's like, my leg is cut off.
It was so cute. I couldn't hang up.
I bet that was a fun day on the job. All right. Do you remember anything else that was just super, like, super waste of your time?
Oh, I put a lot of it in the back of my mind and kind of tried to forget about a lot of it.
All right. Fair enough, Coops. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock.
All right. Just had a lovely of the band. Let's take one phone call. We are talking about you called 911, and maybe it wasn't the best decision of your life. Hey, Tiffany.
Hi.
Hi there.
So, what happened? Hi. You called 911. Why?
Well, my niece and I called 911 because we thought someone was breaking into our house, but it was actually our robot vacuum.
Did the vacuum steal anything?
No, it didn't.
Did it go so far that the police showed up and you had to explain to them what the misunderstanding was?
Yeah, it did. Actually, my husband discovered after watching the video on our security cameras that it was a vacuum, but I was too invested at that point and didn't know what to say, so they came out.
That's
and
fantastic.
And you just pretended like, oh, someone was here earlier?
Yeah, I just...
So you went through with it.
I don't know what it was.
Just in the hopes they wouldn't find out that it was your vacuum.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a person, not my robot vacuum. Definitely not. Thanks, cops.
Hey, Allie, this is you're always warning us about those Roombas, man. This is another reason to not get one. They'll rip you off blind, man.
Listen, Tiffany brought up the Roomba and cameras in her house. Tiffany, what are you doing?
Exactly. All right, thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your 911 is a joke calls. Coming up next on K-Rock.
And what's the problem?
I'm too high.
You're too high?
Yeah.
What'd you take?
Weed.
Yes.
Okay.
To get up or get down. 911 is joking, yo.
Going back to your calls, we're going to have we're going to talk to an animal 911 caller in a second, which reminds me of this one.
This is going to sound like a strange question, but we have a cat and it's going crazy and it's attacked my husband and we're kind of hostage in our house and we're just wondering who we can call to do something, get rid of the cat or help us.
That's the right move, woman.
They called 911 on their own cat, by the way.
That to me, that's because cats are dicks.
Cats are awesome, and you ought to be able to handle your own cat. All right,
says the guy.
Let's go to Jeannie, line two. She's one of Kevin's people. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, Jeannie?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi. It just occurred to me I should have given a fake name, but
that's all right. Good. What happened?
Okay, now I'm on the other side. I'm taking the 911 calls for over 30 years.
Oh, we love you.
Yeah, I won't say what city, but okay. My head was exploding when you decided to do this because there's too many to name. But somebody called a guy who sounded like he was stoned. It was the middle of the night, maybe 3 a.m. He said he stepped out to have a cigarette between the houses and there was a giant black widow. And he wanted us to send somebody out to get rid of it because he thought, you know, somebody could possibly get, you know,
killed.
Bitten.
So he saw a spider. He saw a spider outside and called 911.
Yeah, black widow though.
Why got to be black?
Because they're not. Yeah.
So wow.
I called 911. I said the police or fire department. They're not coming out for that. So he said, okay, well then I'm going to call animal control. And I said, I answer that too. They're not coming out for that.
So like Jensen pointed out, he was not only wasting your time. The dude was racist too. So that's no good. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Get down. 911 is joking. Yo, damn. I love line four. Give me some Kristen, please. Agoura Hills up next on K-Rock.
Morning, Kristen.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
This sounds fun. Go ahead.
So I have a neighbor who I guess gets irritated easily. One day, we live on a busy street. I'll just reference that. One day, we had a lot of sirens going by, and he decided that he was going to call the police and let them know that they needed to turn off their sirens when they were driving by our complex because it was aggravating
him. The sound was bugging him.
I mean, look, if the police can dim the sun, they can certainly do something about those noisy sirens.
Exactly.
I would love to. And by the way, every time you hear a 911 call released to the public, I'm always shocked by how patient they are. Mm. I would love to hear the reaction of the person who took that call, wouldn't you? All right, let's try Jared. He's calling us from New Mexico. Are you in New Mexico right now, Jared?
I am.
How about that? All right. Well, we appreciate that. What's your 911 story?
Okay. So I hadn't slept really well for a few days. So I went and got some cough medicine.
With codeine?
Instead of, you know how they give you the little cap?
Yeah.
Well, I drank about a third of the bottle.
Is that the cough syrup with codeine or just the regular?
Just the regular.
Okay.
But there's an ingredient in it, and I thought they had taken it out probably 30 years ago. Well, it didn't. So it will make you hallucinate. And so I thought there was a family of Samoans that had taken over my house.
Oh.
And I called 911 to have them removed.
And wait, were you alone in your house at this time?
Yes.
No, the Samoans were there. You wasn't alone?
I want this cough syrup so bad.
Oh, it's just on any store shelf. But so they stormed the house with the guns drawn and everything out. They came out and they were like, dude, what are you on? What's your problem? And I wouldn't tell them anything. They wanted my ID. I wouldn't give it to them.
Oh.
And they knew who I was. So they took me to jail.
Whoa. Took you to jail? You were arrested because they thought you were high or something.
Yeah, they thought I was on shrooms.
I got to tell you, they did the right thing.
So they left all the Samoans in the house while you went to jail?
No. Well, no, they were never there.
Allie's actually on my...
They weren't there.
Allie, I don't know if you weren't listening. They were not there.
Can we close with the greatest 911 call of all time, please?
Yes, please.
Fire department operator 75, what's the address, please?
1612-1. Hello. Hello.
I'm here. What's the address? I'm waiting for you to tell me.
1612-1 Harris.
How old are you?
I'm 19, homeboy.
You're a male?
I'm a male, motherfucker. Of course.
What happened to you?
I fell down. I want them to check my head or my finger because I'm kind of cut.
You fell off of what?
What?
What'd you fall off of?
Stairs. Like, man, too much information and man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You been drinking it all tonight?
What?
Have you been drinking it all tonight?
A couple. Hey, you don't gotta bring all that siren and just come like quiet and
oh, yeah, okay.
And pick me up and that's it. Send me to a memorial hospital.
That's where you wanna go?
Yeah, just let me. I got insurance and all that piece of
oh, fantastic. They don't think they'll really care, though. They'll try to give you the best help they can.
All right, Holmes.
You having any trouble breathing right now?
Hell no.
Okay, good. Any nausea or vomiting? You think you're going to throw up at all?
No.
How about pale, cool, or sweaty skin, like you're going into shock?
No.
Okay.
Feel like going to sleep and
all right. Well, sit there with the phone right now and wait for us to get there to help you out. If anything changes, just call us right back, okay?
All
right,
listen.
What's your name so we know who we're looking
for? Victor Fuentes.
All right, Victor. We'll be there in just a moment.
Blink 182.
All right, listen.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Their old friend and ours, Tom DeLonge, is going to be joining us in studio next week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
He might rush to find them aliens.
Maybe I can get him on board with the plan.
Yeah.
See them aliens.
Need it.
Very excited about Tom. I think it's Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's been a while since we've had him in, so that will be fun. Speaking of friends, Eliza will be joining us next hour here on K-Rock, as well as your chance to win tickets to go see Comic-Con next week in San Diego. Jensen, I'm awfully hungry right now. Can you do anything for me?
Oh, yeah. I have the fast food report.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the fast food report. With your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He's Jensen Karp. Take it away, gumshoe.
Oh, thanks, Detective Omar. Hey, guys.
I no longer have an appetite after that.
I'm very excited this week. I think I have some good food on the menu. First, nowadays the trend in pizza has most people running away as fast as they can from carbs, things like the popular cauliflower crust. But one pizzeria in New Jersey called Via Italian Kitchen is doubling down with what they call just the crust. That's right, it's six pieces of pizza crust, just the very tops of the slices, all assembled in a cardboard triangle to-go box, which sounds like something a seagull would be picking at on the beach more than a snack. We know that the crust is everyone's favorite part of the pizza, so skipping straight to selling pizza crust only seemed like the perfect idea, said their marketing director, about what essentially at their core are very sad breadsticks. Starting next week, you can get the assortment for $2.75 or maybe just buy bread. That's up to you. But I still have to ask, crust it or bust it, eat it or beat it. Let's start with mugs.
You know what? I've never been a big fan of the crust unless it's unless it's like just doused in tomato sauce and cheese and garlic. But this just sounds bland. This sounds terrible. So I'm going to say, beat it, kid. Beat it.
Big shock that mugs is first is a beat it. Allie, eat it or beat it.
As you know, I am allergic to dairy. Do I chance it for a pizza? Hell yes, I do.
Wow. Pizza crust, though.
I will say this about the crust. I love it so much.
Whoa.
Really?
I'm eating the hell out of it.
Shocker there.
Yeah.
Little twist. You want to break the tie, Bean?
For me, they leave out the best part of the pizza, which is the pizza. This is big hat, no cattle. I am way no on this.
All right, he's out. Okay, moving on. And while we're on the subject of selling just one element from a dish, may I take you to Jakarta, where you can purchase, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
KFC chicken skin. Yeah, that's right. Just the greasy, salty skin from the Colonel's original recipe chicken pieces are now available in a bag at six different locations in Indonesia.
Just a bag.
Just a bag. They hand you a bag with skin in it for those looking for the quickest and most effective way to clog your arteries. Now you can buy 12 pieces of skin for just 99 cents, which no matter how gross you think it sounds, that is kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
There are no current plans to bring it to the U.S., although a representative told Business Insider that KFC chicken skin could show up elsewhere in the future. So I ask you, is this skin or sin? In other words, eat it or beat it. Let's start with Bean.
I already have bags of skin hanging in my home anyway, so it seems like this would be something I would like. But no, again, the best part of KFC is the chicken. I love the skin, but not on its own. I will not eat it.
Okay. Allie, what are you thinking? Eat it or beat it?
I love me some KFC. I don't want a whole bag of just skin. I want the chicken with that skin.
Okay.
I'm going to beat it.
Beat it.
But the truth is, I think if we weren't being judged, you'd eat, I don't know if you'd eat a bag of skin, but like the skin's good.
I'd eat a few.
Right.
With
okay.
the side of mashed potatoes.
If you were drunk or whatever.
What?
Mugs.
Give it to me. Give me all the skin in the world. Eat it, eat it, eat it.
Yeah.
See, love it.
Up his alley. I did feel like I was lucky to have him in the room for that one. Moving on. Now, every time you eat fast food, you're sort of gambling in a way, right? The odds are always around 35% that the meal you're currently eating will shoot out of your butthole within the next hour.
Wow.
But now Swedish Burger King is taking those casino odds to the next level. Get ready for the 50-50 menu. Now customers will order a Whopper or a crispy chicken sandwich from the new 50-50 menu, and as a result, you may receive a new plant-based Rebel Whopper or a new plant-based Rebel Chicken King or the actual meat-based originals. You don't know what you'll get because they're so sure that you're not going to be able to tell the difference between that with your taste buds. They just aren't going to tell you. Does this make sense?
Oh, yeah.
The only way to find out is by using a BK phone app to scan a barcode on your box. That way you'll know if you had the, you know, alternative or the original for the final answer. So I ask you, are you ready to roll the dice or are you already thinking twice? Eat it or beat it. Allie, we'll start with you.
I mean, either way, you're getting something you like because you're getting the original or you're getting the plant-based. So I'm going to say I love gambling and I love burgers. I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Mugs?
Yeah. I like how Burger King is, you know, trying to spread the good word of vegetarianism and veganism.
Yep.
And I love the taste of all of it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So
it
wouldn't even matter.
It wouldn't even matter. And I love tricking people. Say, here, have a piece of this hamburger. Ha-ha, it's plant-based. Wow, I didn't even know.
Do you ever do it opposite?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's screw fun.
They vegetarians hate it, love
right?
that.
So I'm going to go ahead and say eat it.
Yeah.
Now, the only person this truly matters to is our friend Bean.
Yeah.
Because he himself is a vegetarian, so this is an actual gamble for him.
He could get double meat.
Yeah, he could get sick.
Yeah. If I know that I have the plant-based option, I'm going to go ahead and get that and not take the risk of accidentally ordering the chicken. So I think I pass on this, but I applaud the creativity of what they're doing, which is to point out to people that the plant-based food has come a long way, and many people can't tell the difference anymore.
What a wuss, though, right?
Yeah, totally.
Now, we were all shocked when Bean announced that he'd be moving to London, walking away from the job he loves. But that's before we learned of the Strawberry Donut Frappuccino. It's at Starbucks currently, exclusively in the UK. This drink features a blend of donut crumbles, milk and ice, all layered on top of a strawberry puree and finished with whipped cream and freeze-dried strawberry toppings. Woo! Sounds good to me. They are currently, they have no plans to bring it to the U.S. It'll be available until September 4th overseas. So, Bean, you might want to look into just abandoning your two houses and your pets and getting there as soon as possible. So I ask, are you into the donut holes or is this a donut? No, drink it or sink it. Bean first.
I love the idea of it. I'm not a big strawberry fan. If they made this in chocolate, I'd be all about it. But I say I'm going to beat it.
Sink it.
It's actually sink it, just so you know.
I think I'm going to sink it.
So that we continue with having the format. Allie, drink it or sink it.
Is there coffee involved in it?
There is none. This is like, it's a Frappuccino, so it's got a little bit. But it's, you know, the way that our friend Kevin drinks coffees.
Yeah.
They're like desserts.
But coffee still exists?
A little bit, yeah. Oh, in life?
Yeah.
Yes, I have not changed the rules of the world.
Okay, sink this bitch.
Sink it.
All right, sink this bitch.
I love me some strawberries. Okay. I love me some donuts. Mm-hmm. And I love me some Frappuccinos. Give me an IV. Let me mainline that stuff. I will drink it.
All right, last two. Now, I know I usually stick to items that are found at fast food chains or franchises. But I couldn't pass this Walmart exclusive that puts a twist on your favorite pastry. Say hello to the limited edition Hostess Orange Cream Pop Twinkies. It's a classic golden sponge cake now with an orange cream center filling, like an orangesicle surrounded by sweet, sweet bread. Each cake comes individually wrapped. You can get them for 10 at a time for $2.50, but they're limited edition. But we all know Twinkies last forever, so who cares? With this in mind, it's that time I ask, is this a dream come true or a cream without a clue? Eat it or beat it. Let's start with Mugs.
Yeah, you know, you have it when it's cold. You have it when it's room temperature. Give it all to me. I will eat it.
Wow.
What?
Well, I'm talking about the orange 50-50 bar.
At the end of the day, eat it or beat it. He said eat it. I'm fine. Allie, eat it or beat it.
Nothing about that interests me. I'm going to beat it.
That was a shocker. Bean?
Did I miss here? It was Twinkie related, right?
It is a Twinkie with an orange cream.
Say no more. Say no more. I'm in. Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. I agree.
Would you do it warm or room temperature, though? Like,
that's the real question.
I go either way.
Would you do it warm or room temperature? Tell me, warm or room temperature? Start with Allie. When I was in high school, a senior told me that all Outback Steakhouse locations force their waiters and waitresses to speak in an Australian accent to take your order, which I was very excited about. I ran to one near my house. No. I thought it had a real medieval times kind of place to it. I walked in and figured out as they were ready to take my order, and the waiter spoke in what sounded like a Tarzana accent.
Mm-hmm.
I was having my chain pulled. But because of that visit, I was introduced to the incredible Bloomin' Onion appetizer, the crown jewel of their menu.
Oh, the best.
So they've extended this into a brand new Bloomified menu, which includes the Bloomin' Fried Chicken. It's a boneless chicken breast hand-battered in Outback Original Bloomin' Onion seasoning, fried until golden brown, and drizzled with spicy signature Bloom sauce. Served with homestyle mashed potatoes and a fresh seasonal veggie, $15.99. So I ask, are you down with the bloom or filled with doom? Eat it or beat it. Let's start with Mugs. And Mugs, come up with a weird way to say it.
I have a really big erection right now.
Oh.
Bloom it, baby. Let's do this.
Wow. I mean, he did find a weird way to say it.
Sure did.
I mean, it's all uncomfortable.
Allie, it's up to you. You could use an Australian accent if you like. Eat it or beat it.
I'm going to eat it, mate.
That works. Bean, what are you thinking?
I don't think it's for me.
Well, not where I thought we were going. That was the Fast Food Report.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM, that was the Fast Food Report with Jensen Karp.
So far, I feel like she can do no wrong. So far, she's on it. Billie Eilish, yeah. It's a new song called Everything I Wanted. On the world famous K-Rock, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:37 and time for People Are Dumb.
Dumb.
Board man jailed for making dozens of burping calls to 911.
Oh, no.
28-year-old man Reese Pilot, who burped down the phone line on dozens of 911 calls because he was bored, has been sentenced to jail.
How long? How long do you get for doing that?
Well, it wasn't just that.
Oh, okay.
The 28-year-old sat with folded arms as he appeared in a video leak from his sentencing, and they said that he had made 13 nuisance calls, is what they call them, on the 24th of September, and 19 more 3 days later.
Right.
So then, she said that the calls were easily distinguished, this is the 911 operator, as being made by the defendant as he was, quote, audibly belching down the phone line.
911, what's your emergency?
I mean, come on. Right?
It's a pretty good
911, run. 911, where's your emergency?
911, what's the location of the emergency?
I mean, my whole family's perishing in a fire, but this jackass is calling to burp.
That's why the judge gave him 28 weeks, because he's like, you're wasting emergency time.
Good for the
time.
Judge. Mm-hmm.
Reckless driver told cops he was racing home after, quote, cheating on his wife.
Well,
okay,
I get it.
A Florida man pulled over on Sunday night for driving recklessly told police that he needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. That was his excuse.
I mean,
I've been cheating. I really need to get home quickly.
Yeah, like I said, I was at dinner, but it took too long.
Yes.
So,
She's been texting or whatever. Wow. I got to get home fast.
Cops report that Gene Earl Pickard, 22, was behind the wheel of a 2015 Honda that was going in excess of 90 miles per hour in a 55 zone.
He was really cheating.
When he was stopped by the police around 7:30 p.m., he said, I was recklessly driving and endangering because I needed to get home in a hurry because I was cheating on my wife.
Yeah.
So then they busted him for reckless driving, a misdemeanor. But when cops searched him, they found a baggie of crack cocaine in his shirt pocket. And he said, and I only paid $50 for it.
Oh,
so it was a bargain?
He was bragging about it. Crazy, right?
Seems like a chill bro.
Dragon Girl, 24. I believe we've talked about her before. She calls herself Dragon Girl. She spent over $37,000 modifying her body, and she went blind for 3 weeks after tattooing her eyeballs blue.
Oh, no.
That is insane to me. She spent $37,000 modifying her body. She says that it's the latest in the body modification, including 200 tattoos. And by the way, she only spent $37,000.
That's as good of a deal. That's a good deal, like the crack was.
Exactly, 200 tattoos on her body. She had her tongue split, and her earlobes were stretched.
A split tongue.
Blue-haired Amber also said that she got a boob job, a cheek and lip filter, and pointed implants placed in her ears.
Oh,
why pointed?
She wants to be a dragon.
I guess so. She calls herself the blue-eyed white dragon. She first developed her bizarre fascination with extreme body modification at 16 and said the eyeball job was just the most dangerous procedure, but it had been done before.
I have seen it. It's crazy.
Where they put
it? Yeah, it's just ink, and it just goes all inside your eye. So all of the white part of your eye is whatever color. Yeah, a lot of people do black.
I'm looking at it now, and
it's blue.
It looks, like markered in.
It's crazy.
It seems poor. It seems bad.
Right.
Yeah.
She says, I can't even describe to you what the feeling is like. Yeah, we all know. You're tattooing your eye.
Yeah, we can guess.
That hurts your skin, let alone your eye. She says, the best advice I could give you is to not do this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So that's pretty good advice.
Very nice of her.
Can I know the nature of your emergency?
Oh.
And finally, three Indiana judges suspended after White Castle brawl that left two wounded.
Oh, no.
These are judges. They were in town for a judge conference. back in May, and they were drinking heavily the night before. Maybe they were at the bar we went to.
They might have been.
I hope that place isn't carpeted.
Before the judicial conference, they tried to visit a strip club called the Red Garter.
Oh, yeah.
But they weren't allowed in.
Because they were too drunk?
Yes. How drunk do you have to be to never get let into a strip club?
Especially one called the Red Garter.
Right. So they did the right thing. They went to a White Castle.
Sure.
That's the next move.
Uh-huh.
Is you go to the White Castle. But the female judge, as a car was driving by and honking, the female judge flipped him off.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Right? So then this car stops, turns around, they get out, they start throwing blows, and two guys get shot.
Jeez.
It's the most insane. These are judges.
Oh, my.
Gun violence erupts overnight. Five people are shot during a three-hour period. And tonight, IMPD is investigating each case. First, two Southern Indiana judges are recovering after they were shot during some sort of altercation outside of a White Castle restaurant in downtown Indianapolis. IMPD says it happened in the parking lot of the White Castle on West South Street around 3:30 this morning. Police say witnesses inside the restaurant told them that they heard an argument outside before those shots were fired, hitting Clark Circuit Court judges Andrew Adams and Brad Jacobs. IMPD says the judges are visiting Indianapolis from Clark County for a conference. Jacobs and Adams are both stable after surgery. Police say Jacobs, Adams, and two other people had visited several restaurants and bars last night and into this morning. When they could not get into a bar at 3 a.m., they went to White Castle. Officers say a car pulled into the parking lot, and when the people inside got out, they got into an argument with the judges and a fight started. That's when the shooting happened. Police say the shooter drove away.
Did you notice the changes in that story? Is there was no, she flipped him off.
Yeah.
And both judges were guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, there was three, and one was the girl. She's the one that flipped him off.
Mm-hmm.
The other two are the guys, and then the car pulls over, and the four of them start throwing down, and the guy shoots him. He shoots two of the judges.
Yeah, we know
not
that.
Not her.
Yeah.
So she flips him off. They also left out the Red Garter. They're like, oh, yeah, they tried to go to some bars.
You think they're protecting the judges?
Of course.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was two judges. It was three judges now?
There's a penis and a sickle.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, I mean, let's break this down.
Do you have all the paperwork?
There were always three judges.
Okay. I thought there were only two judges.
There were always three. Two got shot. There were always three.
Okay.
They tried to go to the strip club.
Yes.
And the female judge flipped off the car.
Yes.
The car pulled over.
Okay.
Gets in a fight. But I did think you said two male judges at that point.
No, no. The two guys in the car and two male judges.
It was the neighbor.
Everybody except for the flip-off.
So she got away safe.
She got away completely safe.
But the neighbor blindfolded them.
Yes, and the they sickle. Were married.
911, what's your emergency? I'm not going to lie. That's pretty impressive.
I'm telling you, the story from the Post is the weirdest thing you're going to hear all day.
Right.
And it's coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, do we have jurors on the line?
We do.
All women.
All women.
Right?
All women.
All
yep.
women.
Yep, yep.
And they called without knowing in advance what the topic was going to be.
Correct.
So no prejudgment here.
Correct.
All right. Planet Fitness, you guys, has done a survey of over 2,000 women. And they have found, much to my surprise and also to my delight, because I win in this environment, I win here as a result of this, that more than half of the women surveyed prefer a dad bod to a ripped, lean stomach. So no longer do I have to worry about that six-pack of abs that I have. I can just let it go.
You have been working hard on that.
I sure have.
So I hate to see you let it go so easily.
And no more crunches.
I do think it's important to address that dad bod is not necessarily fat.
It's not, a big, overweight dude. It's just
not defined.
Not toned, not defined.
Yeah.
Now, who would be, for folks who still are not grasping, Allie, who would be an example of a celebrity that we know that has a dad bod? Somebody that you would say, okay, that's the personification of what we're talking about here.
Vince Vaughn.
Sure.
Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a guy who's
been
a lot
of time.
He
does not want to hear that.
No, he doesn't.
Apologies, Vince Vaughn, if you're listening.
I think he knows that.
Yeah, okay.
He's not a guy who's spending time in the gym. He's just a guy who probably watches what he eats. He's not fat. He looks like a normal guy, or these days in America, a thinner than normal guy.
Yeah.
But certainly not a gym rat.
Right.
Okay. How about you, Allie? Dad bod or
ripped? I definitely have a dad bod.
That wasn't his question.
Okay. Got it.
What do you prefer?
Absolutely a dad bod.
You do.
Because a guy that's ripped and I don't mean to stereotype.
But she's going to stereotype.
You're spraying Axe body spray. You've got an affliction hat, and your whole life is working out. Those dudes do not interest me one bit.
What if you're just a healthy dude, though? What if you're just a guy who wants to be in good shape? Like Mr. Weatherby, our boss, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
He's in really good shape. He's obviously a guy who goes to the gym.
Wow.
But he doesn't.
What's going on?
Is he a guy that goes to the gym?
Obviously. Yeah, totally. You can see that
yeah,
dude
he's
works
buff.
Out.
Okay, but, buff, I think, yeah. but I don't think he.
But I don't think he has any of those other stereotypes that you're talking about being being a dick.
I also don't see him as a gym rat.
That's
type
what I'm
of guy
saying. He's not.
All.
He's not a buffed up dude. He's just in yeah. shape. So I think yeah. he sits in a different category. Yeah. Than
he's
the other
somewhere
two.
In the middle. Okay.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. All right. So dad bod, over ripped, lean stomach. You say, Chip. How about you? You're the other lady in the room. You agree?
Same. Yeah.
Totally. Okay. All right. So let's find out if our listeners agree as well. It's time for a Kevin and Bean scientific survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean scientific survey.
To the surprise of many, over half of women in this survey of 2,000 prefer the dad bod over the ripped, lean stomach.
Now, the one thing that we do need to point out is that the results of the scientific survey are legally binding.
Correct. That's correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. And we're going to go to as many as 5 callers. That's how seriously we are taking it to determine whether it's true or not. Who's our first juror, please?
First is Priscilla from West Covina.
Hey, Priscilla.
Hi.
Thank you for listening.
Good morning.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What say you about dad bods? Do you prefer that or do you prefer a ripped dude?
Total dad bod.
Yeah.
Really? Right. How come?
Because you don't have to worry so much about
other women being interested
like
in him.
Completely. I mean, I've dated my guys with, you know, totally ripped abs and it's just not the same. You think they're totally into, you know, having sex, that they're perfect, nothing's going to go wrong. But it's just dad bods are for sure the best way to go.
All right. Okay. All right.
One for dad bods.
All right. All right. Who's up next, please?
Next is Erica in Yorba Linda. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what do you think?
Dad bods?
So I'm with dad bod as well.
All right.
Wow.
Why have I been wasting so much time in the gym?
Well, you haven't.
Why do I work out every day, all day?
And you don't.
Says the guy who can't come to grips with the fact that his thighs are sore after running once.
All right, Erica.
One thing I want to add real quick that has not been mentioned you know, when you're at home and you're like sitting on the couch or like you're laying in bed, like snuggling, like that dad bod has that extra cushion to like snuggle up on where like the rock hard body is just, no, I don't want to lay with that.
Yeah. Right.
It's like laying on a deck or something.
Deck. Yep.
Yes. Thank you, Erica.
Great example.
Mark, please.
Laying with a deck.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying if you're laying on like a porch or something like that,
right.
It's not comfortable.
Or a porch. Yeah. Right.
Next. A deck.
All right.
I love that just came to mind.
It's like you're out in a cabin and you're laying on
next
the deck.
Is Jenna from Simi Valley. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning.
Now, Jenna, we are already 2-0 dad bod. Are you going to seal this one for us, or are you going to go the other way and say you prefer a dude with ripped abs?
So here's the thing. I think it's way more comfortable. You have the freedom to eat and drink and whatever with a dad bod dude. And then it's your choice when you say you want to get on the healthy page, and then you can make them do it with you. It's control.
Okay.
So she wants mind control, which is
fine. Wow.
That wasn't one of the options.
When I'm ready.
I'm sorry?
When I'm ready to get fit.
When you're ready.
Okay. All right. So we are putting you down for dad bod?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. We have a winner. So, guys, this is... This really backfired on Planet Fitness because everyone who's listening right now just canceled their gym membership.
Yeah.
7 o'clock. Very excited about that.
That's how it works. Me too, plus the fast food report. And we'll talk to the director of it's become international news, you guys. The Lowell Cafe in Southern California is the first pot cafe where you go and they pair up your weed with your food.
I thought this whole time it was Lowell Cafe, like LOL, you're going to laugh there a lot because you're high. No, it's Lowell.
Right.
Can I suggest to him Lowell?
Yeah, I mean, it could have worked. It could work either way.
Okay. I mean, depending on how high he is when we get him on the phone, that might sound like a good idea to hit him, too.
Could still change it.
First, though, Allie, you had an interesting story pop up yesterday that I think is worth discussing.
Yeah, I came across this on social media, and I looked into it, and I was like, oh, this could get real ugly, you guys.
What? Something on social media?
Let me tell you about 24-year-old Emily Clough. She went to apply for a marketing coordinator position with a company in Austin called Kick-Ass Masterminds. She didn't have the highest of hopes. She's applied to a ton of places. Job offers can be few and far between when you graduate from college. But
not only that, unemployment is at record lows right now. You know,
right.
I mean, there's
not a lot out there
for anybody. By the way, what's the name of the company again?
Kick-Ass Masterminds.
Would you ever, no matter how great the job was, work for a company called Kick-Ass Masterminds?
Well, they appear to be a very cool, female-forward company. That's where she wanted to take her career, was to marketing. You know, worst-case scenario, she doesn't hear back from them. No big deal.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, she gets hired and then has them change the name.
There you go.
To an actual name.
After applying online at about 9:40 a.m., she was sent a link with the second part of the application asking her what's her marketing background, how would you describe yourself, tell a story proving your grit and toughness. And then this is where it took a little bit of a turn. According to Emily, she said after submitting the second half of the application, she got a message that said, following Kick-Ass Masterminds Instagram gives applicants an advantage over other applicants.
Okay.
She's like, all right, cool. I'm in.
Yeah, marketing. You might need social media knowledge.
Sure.
Hit that follow, and she scrolled through the posts, checked out, you know, who the audience was, and then she clicked on their stories.
Whose stories? The actual company?
Kick-Ass Mastermind stories, where she saw a post of a woman in a bathing suit with the text over the picture that said, warning, PSA, because I know some of you applicants are looking at this. Do not share your social media with the potential employer if this is the kind of content on it. I'm looking for a professional marketer, not a bikini model. Go on with your bad self and do whatever in private. But this is not doing you any favors in finding a professional job. That picture was Emily.
From her her social
from
media.
From her own Instagram social. From June. So this obviously was posted before she followed them. So they looked at her Instagram, went back to June, screenshot a picture of her in a bikini in a pool, and wrote this PSA.
Wow. All right, I'm furious right now.
It's disgusting, despicable, and it gets worse.
I'm mad, too. Can you send me the pic? Just on the WhatsApp, maybe?
So she sends a DM to the company on Instagram, like, hey, what's going on?
How about that? How about you not do that?
The company responded, remember that everything that you put on social media is public and future potential employers will see it. Best of luck in your job search.
Wow. Oh, man. She dodged a bullet.
She writes back, I'm aware of that as I worked with social media for 2 years. I didn't realize wearing a bathing suit and appreciating my body made me unprofessional. Most employers and companies, especially those who work with marketing, have that understanding. I'm disappointed to see a company that I was very interested in decide to go out of their way to shame an applicant. As you will see in an email I sent to hey@kickassmasterminds.com, I included my resume, cover letter, and politely asked you to take down the story. Their response, best of luck.
Ugh.
So she wrote back, take down the story.
Right.
Then they blocked her.
Oh, my God.
They blocked her.
They are terrible at marketing.
Terrible at marketing. So that's when she's like, all right, you know what? I wasn't going to do it. But she went to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
She went to Twitter and she said, basically, I'm being shamed. She said, I was objectified earlier today by a company because of a picture of me in a bikini.
By the way, is an important part.
In a pool.
She's not in an office.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that as well.
Yeah.
Right.
They claimed it made me unprofessional. They screenshot the photo, posted it on their Insta story, and called me out. I am still baffled that the company handled it in such a manner.
I would understand. I'm with Jensen, by the way. I would understand the story more clearly had I seen the photo.
Yeah, I understand.
You need all the info.
I know we're all furious, but please allow me to go first.
every applicant for every job in 21st century America should expect their social media to be combed through.
Yes. Absolutely.
If you end up and they see a video of you standing in the doorway of a CVS shouting the N-word, as we saw on the internet last week, then they have every right to point that out and not hire you.
Yes.
If they see you, you know, if they see you at a Klan rally. They still have Klan rallies? If they see you at a Klan rally.
Like you don't know.
It's on you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'm sorry. There's less than 0% wrong with a woman having a bikini picture on her social media. It has nothing to do with her ability to do
pool.
The job.
Yeah.
They were looking for something because they went back to June, too.
Oh,
so
really?
They scrolled back. They were trying to get after something. But I saw this online because
you saw the
follow,
picture or what?
Well, yes.
Okay. Because I haven't gotten that yet.
None of us have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can maybe see that.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
I would be in a bathing suit right now if I had
her body.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. I feel like we only know half the story.
Okay, here's the thing. So I see this online because I follow Erica Nardini. She's the CEO of Barstool Sports.
Okay.
And she wrote, to be honest, she looks great, and I'd argue she's a good marketer. Then she rates dogs is the Twitter that wound up posting it that went viral, went ballistic. Like, this girl applied for an internship at a company and they put up this screenshot in her bikini. Long story short with this, the company has been bombarded.
Love it.
They've done a whole bunch of stuff. They've gone quiet online. They shut down their website. Their accounts on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn also shut down. Instagram made private.
She broke the company.
Yeah. Well, the company, I feel, was very broken. But here's the best part. Somebody noticed before they were able to shutter all of their Instagram and different social medias. Maybe you guys shouldn't have a picture of all of the employees in a bathing suit on your Instagram.
No!
Wait, what?
This company did everything wrong. Wow. So not only hypocrites.
Do you
and
have that
awful
one, though? Do you
human...
have that pic?
No, it's been, that one's been shut down.
Yeah. I can find it.
Yeah, but all I'm saying right now is, yeah, know that your social media will be combed through. But also...
Yes, but also, this is totally bogus. Mm-hmm.
This is 100% bogus, and Kick-Ass Masterminds might be the worst marketing company I've ever heard of in my life. And Emily Clow, if I look like you, I would post that bikini
I would also
every
like
day.
To say, I don't speak for the company, but I think
you
that
would
help
like
you.
To,
that would help,
like
you,
hire
get, help you get a job here, is what I'm saying, yeah.
Jewelry.
No, not jewelry. No, jewelry.
Jewelry.
No, not jewelry.
Jewelry. It's,
hold on.
Two syllables,
Beans,
not three.
Bean's not helping me. Go.
Okay.
Allie.
Jewelry.
Jewelry.
No, no. Yours is three syllables.
Taco Jewelry. Bell. Jewelry. I have to be very honest with the R. Okay.
All right.
Jewelry.
Now, what's the thing that when you light a fire, it goes up and smoke comes out the top?
Chimney.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, I said chimney.
The other morning you said chimney, and I was floored.
Because I could see myself saying it in a, like the chimney, guys. Like, I could see it saying fast.
No, you were literally like, and then the chimney.
All right. Who's the man or woman that you hire to buy or sell a house?
Realtor.
Yes.
My mom is a realtor.
Is she a realtor, though?
No.
Yeah,
but
because for many
realtor.
People, she's a real realtor. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
But all of this is very... realistic.
Okay, I know that's my word. I get it. Hey, Allie did a story, Kevin Beach Show, K-Rock again. Allie did a story yesterday, or excuse me. Yeah. Kevin did a story yesterday on People Are Dumb about a guy who stole a car to then go and take his driving test. Mm-hmm. Did he also fail his driving test?
He failed that one for the 10th time.
For the 10th time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that got us to thinking about your driving test. And I think what we're looking for here are stories of not just that you failed your test, but you failed it in a spectacular fashion. We are looking for people who had panic attacks. We're looking for people who stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Mm-hmm. We're looking for people, especially if you got into an accident.
So we don't want the written test aspect.
No.
We want the actual driving.
I think we're looking for the driving test.
Also, I'd like if there's someone out there who got pulled over during their test. That would be good to hear.
Because that would be really easy. I mean, you're panicked.
Yeah.
When you know that your instructor is looking and making notes on every little thing you do, and you're freaking out, and a lot of times you're 16, and you have a lot to keep straight at one time. I can see you just boofing it and mm-hmm. blowing through a stop sign or something just because you're worried, you know, you're just not concentrating enough. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things can go wrong with the driving test. For instance, we got an email from Crystal, and we're going to take your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. Crystal writes in, I suffer from anxiety stemming from an accident I was in when I was 9 years old, and I decided to conquer it by learning how to drive. Unfortunately, it took me 9 tries.
Oh!
9 tries. I finally got my license in July. Oh, and I'm 29, mm-hmm. about to be 30. Mm. But congratulations, Crystal. I don't ever want to be on the road with you.
No, I don't want to be anywhere near her.
If somebody takes 9 times to pass their driving test, I feel like they shouldn't be able to drive.
Yeah, I'm fine with them taking Uber. I do have a friend, will not out him, but in his 40s, who lived most of his life in New York City and then failed 2 times his test, his driver's test, because of anxiety. And then on the third one, passed it. But when they pulled in, the guy said, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to recommend you for your license because it's just too much for you.
Oh, wow.
Like, even though he didn't get the points taken off and all those things, he said, mm-hmm. I don't feel comfortable giving you your license. That's rough.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the instructor's doing the right thing.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I think they're the last line of defense before some brand new driver is unleashed onto the world. Mm-hmm. And we don't need more bad drivers.
No.
Right? 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Dave, the King of Mexico, are you the champion on our show for people who had trouble passing their test?
Well, the Kev dog's not here today, so I don't know about him. But let's just say that I had to pay again, twice, to take my driving test. So you get 3 chances when you initially pay, and then I had to pay again, and I passed on my 4th attempt.
So you failed 3 times?
Three times.
Oh. Like, what did you do?
So the first time, you know, the first 3 times I took them in the Montebello DMV, which they're very tough because they take it very serious.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Sure. Montebello, everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah. So they had the parallel
it's
parking.
It's on them. They got a really, tidy strike zone in Montebello.
So the, test one, they had the parallel parking cones. I might have smidged the cone a little bit.
Okay.
And the guy failed me. I was like, what a dick, right? So the second time, I drove too slow on the freeway.
Oof.
Failed me.
Okay.
So the third time, I'm driving at a normal speed, but traffic was going really fast, and the guy's like, speed up. So I sped up and went, I think, like 80.
Whoa.
Failed
no.
me.
80.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was going the flow of traffic, which is the law, right? Yeah. So I said, you know, F this. I'm going to go to BG, Bell Gardens, where, you know, they're way doper.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows
boom.
Bell Gardens yeah. much more.
Bell lax. Gardens DMV. Shout out. What's up?
And then it started pouring, and Dave didn't turn on his windshield wipers.
Right. Oh, the guy gave me a high five for that. Yeah. He's like, you get it, bro. He gave me the nod.
By the way, what is the real law on flow of traffic?
Flow
because
of traffic within.
Clearly, if you're,
no.
But if everyone's going 80 and you go 80, I don't think
no,
they let you go.
They can pull you over for whatever.
Yeah, anyone just, over for
what
going
we're saying
80.
Is there's a, I guess, like a common understanding that you can go flow of traffic, but they can pull you over for anything over the speed limit.
Yeah, right. It's usually five mile per hour buffer.
Yeah.
But,
and I also don't ever recommend going 80 while you're taking your driver's
no,
test.
No, no, no.
Don't do that. No, you'll fail. Yeah.
Do you think that there are, I mean, I guess you wouldn't know the answer to this, but is your sense that most of the driving instructors are looking to pass you or looking to fail you? Or do you think they are objective and fair for the most part?
I think they're objective and fair. I don't think they want to see you come back.
No. I don't get the feeling that DMV want more customers.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So fair enough.
My driving test, first time, passed it, but pulling back into the DMV after the driving part, I did not yield to a pedestrian, and I was 1 point away from failing. It marked it down enough for not yielding to that pedestrian crossing the driveway.
Yeah,
that's a big mistake.
Yeah,
that's
a big
ticket.
Mistake driving. All right, let's take Ariel Fountain Valley to get us going here on line 1-800-520-1067. Lola, you hang on. We will get to you as well. Ariel, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Good morning, Bean. Going to miss you.
Thank you so much, my dear.
Yeah, so back when I was 16 taking my driving test, I was turning right and there was a child in the pedestrian walkway. I was super nervous, so I thought I would speed up and try to go before he came, and I almost hit him.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Didn't though.
I mean,
okay, good.
Good. A detail worth noting. Hey, Ariel, yes. did you end up passing it? I mean, do they still let you drive?
Oh, God, no. No. Okay. Didn't pass it that time. Took it a second time. Actually, also failed that time.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I love this story.
Well, you get an automatic fail if you don't look over your right shoulder when you're turning. So
right. BS.
Automatic failed then. Yeah, mm-hmm. Total BS.
You weren't in Montebello, were you? Because I hear that they're dicks.
They are hard in Montebello.
If you're still trying, get over to Bell Gardens. It's so much easier.
Yeah, BG. So the third time, you were able to pass.
Yeah, third time's a charm.
I mean, I think your instinct to speed up when you see a kid at a crosswalk is not a good one.
I agree.
But I think they made the right choice. We thank you for listening, Ariel. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Tell us about failing your driving test. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Oh, we got some great calls on hold. Lola, you hang on. Diamond as well. Real quick, ahead of Muse, though, let's talk to Alex Westwood, line 2, 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about failing your driving test. Alex, what happened, my friend?
Morning, party people. So this was in Van Nuys. I was 17. The first thing that I did wrong is we came to a red light. She said, okay, I'm going to need you to make a left here. And I forgot, is it a right on red or a left on red?
Wow. Such a distinct difference, Alex.
It's an easy mistake to make.
Sure.
Right, left, you know? So I'm starting to edge closer towards the busy Sherman Way intersection, and finally she turns to me when she realizes what I'm about to do. Like, what the hell are you trying to do?
Is that an automatic fail?
Yeah, but beyond that, even I then nearly ran over a pedestrian.
Oh.
I tried to beat the guy who was coming in opposition in a very narrow alley.
Great.
I tried, and we both got stuck in this like 6 minute trying to like back up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so finally, at the end, she just like sighed and said, "Not everybody can pass on their first."
Sure.
Alex, you driving right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Guys, if anybody's on the road, you guys better be careful.
Yeah, we're gonna let you. We're gonna let you get back to that, Alex.
Focus on the road, Alex.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. By the way, I'm going to have to take a driving test
in a
few weeks here.
And on the other side of the road?
And on the other side of the road. Probably going through about 30 roundabouts in a row, too, by the way.
Hey,
so
kids, Big Ben.
Wish me luck. We'll take some more calls after Muse here on the world-famous K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. I flunked my driving test the first time I took it. I thought I nailed it, but the instructor cut it short. When we got back, he told me I failed. I was shocked, and I asked why. He said, because you seem not to know there are speed limits. I asked, at what point was I speeding? And he yelled, the entire time. You were never close to not speeding. As a father, I hope you never get your license.
Oh, wow.
Says Jack. I hope Jack got a different driving instructor, didn't go to Montebello, was able to
Bell
pass.
Gardens.
Good to BG.
Yeah, gotta go to Bell Gardens, right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's say hi to Lola. She has been patiently waiting on hold in Laguna Beach. Lola, you were 16. You took your driving test. What went wrong?
Hi, yes. I live in Los Angeles now, but it was Laguna and Bean. I'm going to miss you more than you know.
Thank you.
I was super pumped, 16. I got up early. I had all my makeup on. I was taking all my – I've always been weird about vitamins, taking vitamins. And my mom came up to me in the kitchen and was like, here you go. This will help. I didn't think anything of it. And then we're at the DMV. I take the driver's test, and I started to feel just a little weird, and I didn't know what it was. And before you know it, I made a left-hand turn in front of an ambulance. And so the instructor guy told me to pull over, and he took over the vehicle, and we drove back to the DMV. And I got in the car, and my mom asked me what happened, and I told her, and she said, well, maybe I should have only given you half the Valium.
Oh, she gave you Valium.
Yep.
Lola.
Yep, I had no idea. I never even heard of it. I went back to school all embarrassed, having to tell my friends, and I told them that my mom gave me a volume, and they were like, a volume?
Well, you're definitely not on one today. I can tell that.
Yeah. She's on a completely different drug now, I think.
Yeah, I don't know what you're on now, but did you pass the second time, Lola?
I did pass the second time, yes.
Good for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you so much. Let's go to Diamond.
Honestly, can we hang out with your mom?
Seriously, yeah. Your mom is the coolest.
Does she deliver?
Diamond is on line 4. She's in La Puente. Diamond, thank you for holding on. Good morning.
Hey, guys. R.I.P. Bean.
Yes.
Thank you.
So when I took my driver's test, the instructor I got was actually racist. He saw my mom's car. That's the car I drove in, and it was a Mercedes, brand new. And he looked at me and he goes, whose car is this? I said, it's my mom's. He says, give me your paperwork and everything to the car. So I got in the glove box, got the registration and everything. He compared my last name to my mom's, and he goes, huh, a Mexican legitimately driving a Mercedes and owning it. You don't see that every day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So because of that, it made me nervous, and he was nitpicking every little thing that I was doing, and he failed me. But I got my revenge because the next week, I was nervous that I was going to get him again, and I got a woman. But she noticed I was nervous. She goes, "What's wrong? You don't have to be so nervous." I told her everything. She goes, "Can you point him out to me, please?" So I pointed him out to her. She goes, "Thank you for telling me everything. Thank you for being honest and showing him to me. I am the manager of this DMV. He will be fired today."
How about that? Diamond's revenge, right? Yeah, don't cross a Mexican. They'll get you fired is what I learned.
But also that car was stolen, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Diamond, glad you called. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jim, line five. He, you guys, is a driving instructor.
Yes. Awesome. Hopefully not Montebello.
Jim, what's up, guys. Man?
Hey, good morning, guys. No, I work for a driving school in Southgate. Okay. So, you know, every day I take people to a driving exam, and either see people fail the exam for stupid things or have had students fail for stupid things. Like, speaking about racist things, I had a lady in Inglewood fail the exam for not knowing English.
Ooh.
She understood it, but didn't speak it. And the lady just kept saying, "Don't you know Donald Trump's a president now? Don't you know you got to know English?"
My God.
And they failed her for that.
Who are these driving instructors?
No kidding. I hope that one got fired, too. That's awful.
Well, she didn't tell me until we got home, and at that point, I couldn't get involved. You know, so I just told her to call and complain, but I'm not sure that happened.
Right. Yes.
Speaking of Bell Gardens, you guys think Bell Gardens is easy. Well, at one point, this is before I started working there, so there's a legend about our office. We had a lady who wasn't ready for the exam, but we still took her anyways. She got so nervous, she accelerated, and so did the examiner, because, you know, we have pedals on our side.
Yeah.
They both accelerated and ran straight into the pole inside the parking lot.
This is what I was waiting for. Yeah. We hadn't had an accident yet in a driving test. That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jim, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Crystal real quick in Century City. I know we're almost out of time, but she's on line six, and she has a suggestion for me to take the UK driving test. You have attempted to drive in Britain?
Well, I lived in Northern Ireland for 10 years. So
okay.
I took the driving test here, passed, moved to Northern Ireland, and took the driving test there, failed the first time.
What was the problem? What didn't you know?
Okay, well, I had a driving instructor, which I highly recommend because it teaches you to go through the motorway and through all the roundabouts. But they have maneuvers that are different than here. So parallel parking is the least of the worries, even though they, like, hit each other's cars because there's no buffer space. But you have to back around a live street corner, and then you have to back into a parking lot, like a parking bay.
Hmm.
And that's where I failed. So I got into the car. He's like, "All right, your first maneuver is to park back into a parking bay." I said, "Okay." So I backed in, and of course I'm like, backing up is harder than it looks because you have to look the opposite way. So I was kind of like 30 years of driving over here and then trying to drive over there. I was like, I'm not really sure. So I backed in. My wheels were slightly on the line. And he's like, "Okay, continue with the rest of the test." So I went through the rest of the test. And he's like, "All right, well, I would have passed you, but you actually failed at that maneuver.
Very
on the
chill.
Line.
Very chill."
And I was like, "So you let me go through the whole test and barely tell me now?"
I'm not worried, Crystal, because I'm a man driver,
right.
So I think I'm going to be fine.
Much easier.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just
gross.
Naturally better at it.
Yeah.
So you eventually passed, though. You were eventually able to drive. You're okay?
Well, yeah, I took it the second time, and I passed. I had an older driver, and I sort of just, like, chatted with him the whole time.
Oh,
but,
no.
Yeah,
I'm nervous for that guy now.
Yeah. I'm also planning on showing a little cleavage, too. That's my other approach, if I need to.
Follow fails.
Oh, so that's the other thing, too, other tip that the driver gave me, the driving instructor gave me, was girls should wear long, dangly earrings, because that way, when you turn your head, they know that you're looking. And men should wear ball caps, because that's how they can tell that you're actually making those 6-point check turns.
Okay.
Like when you
I got it. I got the cap
now,
and I got the earrings.
10.
I'm all in business.
And
thank
I don't
you.
Think I've ever seen him as excited as he is right now.
I mean,
that's,
I feel like
kind of weird today.
This
you
is,
are on the edge of your seat right now.
This is
Jensen.
Our get. This is our get. We finally, I feel like after all these years, 30 years of you guys together, Hall of Fames, plural.
Uh-huh. Sure.
This is the one that's going to go down in the record books.
This interview.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we've had a lot of the biggest stars that ever lived, as you know, but we've never had Molly Schuyler on before. She is the number one independent female competitive eater in the world. We were alerted to her, Allie, thanks to you and a story
you're
you did last
welcome.
Week about her eating 50 pieces of pumpkin pie in 10 minutes. And we said, who is this woman? She sounds like a dream girl.
She is.
We got to get her on. Her YouTube channel, by the way, has over 16 million views. You can search her name, Molly Schuyler. We'll spell it for you later. Molly, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, hey, how you guys doing?
Very good, thank
We're
you.
We're fantastic. You are just a marvel. We all spent hours yesterday on your YouTube channel, and we just can't believe how many of these challenges you take. And how many world records do you hold right now, if you know?
God. I mean, if you were to go by just restaurant challenges alone, I mean, I hate to say over 100 just because of restaurant challenges.
Over 100?
But even crazier, Molly does this for fun mostly. There are times when she breaks a record on her YouTube channel and she's like, I'm not going to have any real, you know, way to say that this is real, but just watch it, whatever. And then she'll beat a record by like three different, like double it. And she's like, that good video. Talk later.
Why is it so fun for you to eat so much food, Molly?
You know, because it's going outside the box. It's interesting. It's kind of like the oddities that people just don't believe it even happened. And I'm just like, I usually try to put my cat on there because my cat's awesome. You know, whatever.
Yes, you see,
we
your
did
cat.
See your cat.
Yeah, your cat was enjoying the Oreo challenge. I did notice that. Yes.
Just some quick records that I could spurt off, Bean, just to get
sure,
the resume out there. 501 wings. That made her a wing bowl record champion. Okay. She accomplished the feat of eating 360 ounces. That's 22.5 pounds of prime rib in 45 minutes. At the end of those 45 minutes, she asked for more.
Oh, God.
22.5 pounds.
They ran out.
They ran out. She couldn't have any more. She ate 93. She ate 93 dumplings in 2 minutes. That beat her own record of 90 dumplings in 2 minutes.
The record's 119. I beat that record again.
Yes, suck it, Jensen.
Yeah,
over
the weekend.
Get some updated stuff here.
I mean, she's truly a champion where we can't even keep up with her records.
Yeah, exactly.
Molly, no. I have to tell you, I work with people that don't get excited about much often. But before you came on, Jensen's like, "Do you guys see her eating the burrito?" And then Bean goes, "One of her challenges was in my hometown at Bowie, Maryland." I'm like, you guys are such geeks right now.
I love her.
Like, they
we're fanboys.
We are fanboys.
I live right next to Bowie.
That's a great story, just like when Bean told it.
I'm so sad.
No, I live in Harwood, like right down the road from you.
Bean, you could have been best friends growing up. Molly, do you even enjoy food? Or are you just, even taste it?
No, I do. I mean, like, you know, like, I kind of have, like, I feel like 85 different jobs right now. I do contests for money. I do my YouTube. I do, I'm a mom of four.
Yes.
Oh,
I just picked up a bartending job. So now it's like, I don't even eat. If I do a double shift, I don't eat until 10 o'clock at night. So, I mean, I don't eat all the time at home. So it's kind of like, ugh.
So you just get it all out with 14 burritos in 10 minutes. listen,
exactly.
I want to ask, like, the one, because I'm a huge fan of competitive eating. And the thing that sort of surprises me most about you is you have a technique of not chewing. You just swallow the foods over and over again.
Chewing wastes time.
Chewing wastes time.
She's right. She's not wrong. But, I mean, is that something you knew you could do since you were, like, a kid or something?
And unfortunately, it kind of, it's not that I've always wanted, it's not that I intentionally would do it, I just ate that way. And because, you know, growing up, I had three brothers, and they're all like these mammoth dudes, they're tall. Mm-hmm. I'm the runt. I'm 5'7", I'm a runt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm like, if you didn't eat fast, it's like, you know, you didn't, and it's like, you know, some kind of, it's kind of like, well, all right, you're going to get a second portion if you want to eat anything. So I was like, well, I had so much to do, so I just ate as quick as I could just to get the heck out of there. And I guess I never really
chewed my food. I mean, there's a difference between eating quickly because you have brothers and having 100 records
and not chewing. Have you ever choked on anything,
Great
Molly?
Question.
Actually, I do have one video on my YouTube, and it was probably about a good 3-4 years ago, and I put it up because I was like, even I choke. I mean, choking is the one danger I would really say that could cost you a life if you're not aware of what you're doing. And I know how to manipulate my throat and my body, so it's like you have to have extreme control over everything. Like, I got it out, but there was probably a good like a tangerine sized chunk of hamburger, like, got stuck in my throat, and I had to get it out. I was choking.
Man.
Oh,
wow.
No.
Well, that makes sense because
I did put the video up. So
yeah,
it makes sense because she went back because recently she got the double Chubby's Avalanche Challenge down, which is a burger that has 8 half-pound hamburger patties, each with 2 slices of cheese. 16. 8.
Come on, Jensen, keep up.
Just double whatever information you have there. On the paper.
8 Louisiana hot link sausages, all in one.
How are you not heavy? Molly?
Yeah. By the way, she is out of, I mean, incredibly skinny.
Yeah, she looks like a runner. She's got the body of a runner.
She looks like a runner, exactly.
Yeah.
I have 4 kids, so I guess I run around. I run to the grocery store.
But you don't. I know there are no reversals in competition, but you're not throwing up afterwards at home, are you?
No, you know, if you were to eat, I mean, if I eat over 20 pounds, you know, there will be times when someone does get sick. I mean, because your body kicks it out. You have no choice. And that's the sucky thing. But I mean, a 5-pound challenge or something like that, who cares? It's like, you know,
right. You
know, it works itself out. You don't eat like that every doggone day. And, you know, like, now, that there was one video I did. And like I said, it was bad. I drank 2 gallons of canola oil in a minute 6.
Oh,
Molly, do we have to check up on you? We got to stop you from doing
that.
I will neither confirm nor deny that after that video, I had to run to the bathroom.
Yeah,
yeah, of course you did. Because you're human.
I'm not positive that's true.
We're talking to Molly Schuyler here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Her YouTube channel is a must-see. Let me spell the last name for you, by the way. It is S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R. But if you can't remember that, just type in Molly Pumpkin Pie Challenge, and you'll get her YouTube channel. It'll come up.
And subscribe to my challenge, or I'll beat you up or eat your face.
All right. That's fair. That's fair.
You know what? She's like the Billie Jean King of this sport. Okay, so you know the one that they do on July 4th in Coney Island?
Yes.
They split the men and the women because it's like, oh, there's different numbers or whatever. She doesn't compete. It's a long story politically as to why she doesn't compete in the hot dog challenge.
Uh-huh.
But she beats men in every category across the board. I mean, even putting her in a different category is unfair to what she does. Why do you think that is, Molly? Like, why do they split them up at the hot dog challenge, but you just break every record, man or woman?
Honestly, the hot dog contest is the only one, really, I mean, other than maybe amateur events across the country that are once here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only major contest that is really segregated between the sexes. It actually, many, many years ago, it used to be men and women together, and they split, I want to say, 9 years ago, somewhere on there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, to make it fair for the girls who couldn't eat it much, I don't know.
I mean, Molly kills men. It doesn't even matter if it's a man or woman.
And she beats
record.
Them in eating challenges. Then she kills them.
Yeah,
Molly,
yeah.
is there any
She's
holy
widow of eating challenges?
Any holy grail in your future that you still hope to compete? I mean, do you have a mashed potato dream or anything like that you can't wait to get to?
Mashed potato dream.
What?
It's a great question.
I don't dream of mashed potatoes. No, I mean, there's things all across the country. I mean, that if something big pops up, I like to go after it.
Sure.
That's what I like about Molly. She's just low key.
Look, whatever you put in front of me, I'm just going to eat it, you guys. That's all there is to it.
Well, I guess what I end up doing at this point, whatever, was if I feel like the challenge is small, I just order 2 or 3 or 4. I'm just whatever. So,
yeah. I think in these divided times in America, I'm glad that somebody like Molly comes along that we can all agree is the next president of the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen. Molly Schuyler, 2020. The YouTube channel is under her name. She is the number one independent female competitive eater in the world, and we're all big fans. Molly, thanks so much for jumping on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me, y'all. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.